Around Comics, Episode 51.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of Around Comics, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello, hello.
And we have our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
I am a mini convention of one person.
There's a con in your pants.
The Tom Caters mini con?
The Tom, yeah. It smells Tom horrible in there, like an obese man,
and
like old newspapers stuffed everywhere.
Lovely thought.
Yeah,
that's
keep going.
Lovely visual magic you just created.
Thank you. I painted a picture. Yes. I painted a picture.
I'd like to remind everyone out there that Around
Theater
Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9-ish at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, and located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. Little change up in the show format has changed a little bit. So if you are tired of hearing all of the announcements, don't worry. We're going to sprinkle them in throughout the show.
Yeah.
So we'll sneak up on you that way. So we only have a couple announcements here. The first one is our October-November contest. We are calling this the Exterminators Bug Hunt.
That's right. Look for the Exterminators Bug Hunt. All you have to do is check out issues 6 through 9 of the Exterminators from Vertigo Comics. And look for the 10 secret hidden bugs, things, whatever the hell you want to
items,
call
them. Happenings.
Items, yeah. That are
knickknacks.
That we picked.
Situations.
Situations. Yeah. Art elements. Send them email to us at news@aroundcomics.com.
Info at aroundcomics.
Oh, info at aroundcomics.com.
Yeah. I will warn people because I put this on Tony Moore's forum, and he said, hell, I drew all of this, and I don't know if I can find half this shit.
Except that one guy did it in about 4 seconds.
Yeah, but he might not be right.
That is true.
Just because he did it quick doesn't mean that
he's
right.
We've already got a lot of entries.
That's a lesson.
Already.
That's a lesson for all you kids out there.
Take your time.
Take your time.
Well, Sal, what can folks win?
Well, first place, you will receive a signed copy of the Exterminators Collected Edition, Volume Number 1, Bug Brothers, as well as a signed script from author Simon Oliver and a one of a kind sketch from series artist Tony Moore. Second place will receive a signed copy of Bug Brothers, and everybody else will get to read one of the finest comics out today. So
yeah,
you can't
lose.
It'll
be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this contest.
It's going to be cool. Yeah.
And
although I wish I could win because I'd like signed script, a signed trade, and a sketch from Tony Moore. That's
hint,
pretty
hint,
sweet.
Simon, if you're listening.
No. Yeah, anytime, Simon, you want to just
scribble as he just scribbles it on a script and
faxes
it to you.
Should be fun.
He has one of his interns do it. Yeah. Sign that for me.
So everyone, get to hunting. Next is the Long Box of Love. We need to make sure every week to thank Brian Bowles for all of the hard work that he does with his weekly webcomic, Long Box of Love. Those are available every Monday with new episodes of Around Comics. He tailor makes those for every episode we do, and they are fantastic.
Handcrafted.
And one of the finest webcomics on the interweb.
Oh, you don't know that.
Carved from the finest internet
all right,
ether.
Maybe I don't know that. So what? I can make that. I don't know anything. I can make claims all the time.
All right, and our last announcement for the beginning part. Swear to God, PodTrack.
PodTrack.
Tell everyone about that.
PodTrack survey. PodTrack offers us a free PodTrack player, and it also gives us the chance to get to know our listeners a bit better so we can make a better show.
So whenever you leave comments like there are too many announcements at the beginning,
we
will
change
the show.
Someone's left that?
No.
That was me. That was me.
That was us listening to our own show.
But there's a lot of advice.
Website, at www.aroundcomics.com, on the left-hand side near the bottom, there's a little button that says take our survey. And just click on it. It'll take you to a little survey, and it'll ask you a bunch of questions about yourself. And it's all anonymous. It doesn't ask you for any personal information, or at least any individual
They can't contact
right.
you.
They won't call you and be like...
They want to know how much money you make in a year, but they will not ask for your
they
email
won't call
address.
You and go, you're that old and you only make that much?
And you read comic books?
You read comic You might want to consider investing
but
some money.
It does help us know who we are talking to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which helps us make a better show. And will hopefully one day lead to people giving us money for this.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. Hopefully.
You guys are so mercenary.
All right, guys. Let's keep to our promise and keep those announcements short.
Easy for you to be magnanimous when you're not paying for any of this crap.
That's true. I live a gilded life.
Yes, the talent just shows up. All right, guys, let's move on to our main topic. I think this one's going to be a lot of fun. It's just the three of us this week. It's just me,
what's
Tom,
up
and
with
Seth.
That? It's like a letdown from last week. We had like 18
we
people.
Had so many guests.
Yeah. Back to basics. Back to basics, people.
Yeah, it's actually nice to get back to.
We do have the intern here today, though.
We do have our new... we're training an intern to take over as producer of the show. He's not an intern. It's Dustin.
It's Dustin. He's
Dustin
no
Gray
intern.
From our forums
first listeners.
And the writer of Examinations.
Mm-hmm.
Has volunteered his time to take over producing duties because I suck at it and I hate doing it.
Sucks a strong word.
So expect the show to start sounding a lot better.
Exactly. And me to be a lot happier. I'm already happy.
It's
going to
be like all three of us are following you everywhere. Like right behind
you. I think what's cool, and you had said this whenever we started talking about it, it's going to free you up.
Hopefully
to
write
some
more
reviews.
Reviews and articles.
Because then maybe someday you might have a quote
that's
printed
you know,
on the cover of a
I
book.
You know, this drives me, I got to say this, you know, I've written some reviews on the site and everything, and I was trying to get Chris to write some, and so he wanted to do a review of The Damned, and I'm like, great, no problem. So, but he's like, how do I write a review? I'm like, okay. So I sit him down, and I show him, and I give him, you know, basically an outline.
Oh, this format.
Yeah, this, and I said, and what you really want to do is write a nice quote that they can maybe pull out and put on, you know. And
bam!
So sure as shit, the first review he writes ends up on the cover of The Damned, and, you know, thanks to Colin and the guys for doing that, but, you know,
I'm so happy that it's a kick-ass book.
Do I get, like... mine on Criminal, Ed Brubaker. You could have thrown my review.
I'm already
on there.
Formulating puns about every single book on the like, shop.
Yeah,
like,
so don't worry.
Leading
you'll
man
more,
will
you'll
be the leading book.
The band later in the show.
In your
also.
Pile.
All right, guys. Main topic. Yes. This week we are talking about Gateway Comics.
Gateway Comics. Is that like Stargate? Would that be a Gateway?
I was thinking
comic?
Like Gateway City, like St. Louis.
I don't know what that
National
means.
League representatives of the World Series.
Oh, Jesus, we got to go through this.
No, not yet. We'll go back to the Cardinals later. No, Gateway Comics are those books that comic fans
I'm calling Matt
Fraction. can thank or blame for getting them into the world of comics. Whether it's Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, G.I. Joe, movie adaptations, or comics based on Saturday morning cartoons, etc., these are gateway comics. That's how I've always kind of thought of them. Several stories in the last few months have been like Battlestar Galactica, everything that's going on with Marvel, with Guiding Light. These are all what I would consider.
Anita Blake.
Yeah, absolutely. These are gateway comics.
And of course, your G.I. Joe, Transformers, all the horror
Star
movie
Wars,
stuff. I know, Scarface,
Friday the 13th. You know, which goes into movie adaptations.
Sure, sure.
So,
there's tons of them out there.
I think for a long time it was probably used as, you know, obviously a marketing tool to sell comics. You take a high-profile movie or a character and you put it in comic form and you're going to sell more. But I think a byproduct of that, besides selling more comics on those single issues, is that it led to a lot of people getting into comics. And we constantly hear about people that say, my first comic was X.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think from a marketing perspective, it's certainly, you know, it's the best of both worlds. One, you're trying to draw in maybe new readers from, you know,
other interests,
whether
it's
movies or books or whatever it might be, that may, you know, turn into comic readers of your other products. Or two, if you're a company that maybe, you know, unlike Marvel or something, a smaller company, it's something that you can be a little more guaranteed of its popularity, you know.
Sure.
I mean, something like G.I. Joe or Transformers or something. I mean, there's already a fan base for that, so
people are already excited.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you can
sure if you're a company like IDW and you get the rights to a fairly successful box office movie and do the comic adaptation of it, it's probably going to be your top seller
sure.
for probably that year.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely. So it makes sense on both ends of it, I think, and that's why you see so much of it now. You know, a lot of times from from, you know, I think maybe the worst ones ever done is like video game adaptations.
Sure.
Those are like most horrible, you know, I don't know why that
Sonic
is.
Sonic the Hedgehog,
yeah, there's
the comic.
Not really a whole lot. Yeah, I don't know if it's just, it doesn't lend itself.
That was
to
my
it,
first comic.
Was
I'm kidding.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. But you just don't see, I mean, they can go either horribly bad or at their best, they're...
Have there been good video game adaptation comics?
Oh. Well, Halo.
Okay.
Halo,
and I was thinking, like,
recent.
Metal Gear Solid was that. I never read that.
I never read it either. I don't read, like, any of those, you know, things.
Yeah, you're not a big... We usually call them licensed comics is how we refer to a lot of them. You're not a big fan of licensed comics?
It's not that I'm not... I mean, I guess...
You don't actively dislike them. Like, you badmouth G.I. Joe or something like that.
It's just...
I already know
what G.I. Joe is all about.
I was really excited about Battlestar Galactica coming out, and you're like, eh.
Yeah, well, I mean, I already know what, it's like Star Wars. I've seen the movies. I know what it's about. I don't really need to...
But the comics are about so much more, Sal.
I don't need it anymore, though. I don't want anymore. I've had it in my fill,
I
think,
Wars
is what it comes to. It's like,
15.
You know, it's like...
15.
I don't, you
it
know...
It depends on how much more you want.
And I think the other thing is I read comics because of the medium and what they're about. And it's like, if I want to ingest a story about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I'll go watch the TV show because I like the TV show and it's already good.
The comics were actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, but they're still secondary compared to the show.
Yeah, but that was...
Because they're not built to be made as comics. They're built as adaptations of something that already exists.
No, I'll actually... On the Buffy comics, that was actually something that was very cool about those, is that Whedon was very involved, as far as from what I heard, very involved in the comic versions of the Buffyverse, and they weren't straight adaptations from the series.
Well,
they actually
certainly
added on to it, and Whedon had a big hand in that, so there were things that actually happened in the TV show that you wouldn't fully understand them unless you had read the comics, which... And they were good.
I never read them.
You're wrong.
They may be.
You're
they
totally
may,
wrong.
May be completely. You know, no, it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's just my own personal, you know, feeling on it. It's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're bad. I don't know. I just personally have no interest in them because there's enough comics out there about stuff that I don't already know a lot about.
Well, do you see comics like that as gateway comics, as far as, you know, it's like, I'm not interested in them.
Yeah, I think so to some degree.
I think
I think they're there to get people that may watch Buffy, don't read comics. Mm-hmm. I think it's twofold. I think it's, you have an audience that may not read comics, but watches Buffy, say, and, you know, might see a Buffy comic and pick it up, and then they become a comic book reader. Or you have people that already read comics that also like Buffy, so why wouldn't they...
Sure.
Read the comics.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those anomalies that I like the show Buffy, or I did. I read comics. I just don't care about Buffy comics.
You're not a big enough fan to drop, like, $3 to read a comic about Buffy.
I just don't want to get invested in, like, something that I know...
You see them as two separate things. You see them as TV entertainment and comic entertainment. And
I think part of it is I take my comics a little more serious, maybe.
Oh,
it's like then television. I mean, then like a Buffy television. I mean, Buffy's like, you know.
I don't know.
To me, it's brain
candy. Well, you've been about Lost lately. I would.
Been waiting for a Project Runway
but
comic.
There you go. Well, but even so, I'm not reading. I'm probably not reading a Lost comic book. Even as much as I'm into that
show. I'm reading Exile.
I mean, maybe the only couple of shows. Well, no, because
no,
I
like
The Shield. I'm a huge Shield fan, but I have never bothered to pick up The Shield comic. Or like 24, the comic. I just don't care. I already get enough of that storyline and those characters.
The
X-Files
comic, I've never had any interest
in
it.
But I don't think they're a bad thing, and I don't think they're necessarily bad, although a lot of times you do end up getting maybe inferior talent on them, or not an inferior, but unknown talent to some degree. And
well, I thought that's what was cool about Battlestar, is that, you know, Remender and Greg Pak were working on that. So.
No, I'm also in a different point in my life. You know, when I was younger, like in high school, and I played Dungeons & Dragons, and, you know, I read a lot of those books, like especially like the Chronicle or the Dragonlance Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
And now DDP puts out all those in comics.
Yeah,
all those years ago, I probably would have read those comics, but now it's like, I don't even read the books. So.
And I don't want to get into...
You still play Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, absolutely. Every Saturday.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
I leave. No,
yeah, with your, you know, 4 and 1 year old.
So. Yeah,
Terrible dungeon master.
Well, he's, you know, it's hard to understand him sometimes.
He's too small to hold a dagger.
Yeah. Anyway,
he's being carried in a troll's back.
All right, that's enough of my geekness.
But, you know, not to deviate onto a totally different subject, but I think one of the differences in Gateway Comics from now to, say, okay, like Battlestar Galactica now to the original Battlestar Galactica series is distribution. I think at that time when the 70s, 80s Battlestar Galactica came out, you could still pick those up at a 7-Eleven or whatever.
Yeah.
I see the Gateway Comics not being as effective because of the direct market.
You would have to know it exists and then go look for it. And I don't know how many people... I mean, I'd be curious to see how many people who are fans of Battlestar Galactica actually know that they're... I mean, it seems obvious to us because we read comics and we watch Battlestar Galactica, but people who enjoy Battlestar Galactica might not have any idea that there's a comic book. It's just...
Anyway, like I said, that's kind of a whole different discussion. We always talk about direct market and whatnot, so I don't want to get off on that. But I do think that affects Gateway Comics a little bit differently than they were years ago.
Yeah, but aren't they? Well, let's not get into it. But I was going to say, aren't they a perfect vehicle to put in other places other than direct market comic shops?
Yeah, exactly.
They are.
You know, to put in grocery stores or 7-Elevens. Actually, I walked into a 7-Eleven last week, and they had comics mixed in with their magazines.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yep, I could have bought Wolverine number 42.
Nice.
Wow.
You
ever get the feeling when you see that it's like a cheap ripoff of real comics for some reason?
Yeah,
you know?
You're like, it's in a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be here.
Do I get a bag and board
with this? Go back to your home.
This isn't the right.
You're not going to walk up. It's like, you know, it's like, can I have a bag and board with my taquito and my Wolverine number 42? All right, well, guys, you went to... we'll talk about, you know, Gateway Comics that we may have read in the past, but I think we had some great post on the forum. The first one was from Dan C., our buddy up in the Twin Cities, Mr. Papercut. He says, when I was a kid, 6-7 years old, it seemed like I had your typical Harvey, like Richie Rich and Casper and Disney comics, laying around with a few Archie issues sprinkled here and there, but at the time they were just something else to read, like any other book. But beyond that time frame, I think there were 4 series that come to mind that I would consider a gateway reaction as a kid and then even into my college days. So the first one, and we'll take these point by point so I don't have to read this really long post from Dan. The first one is Mad Magazine. And he says, in grade school, my cousins, who were all older than me, had a huge stack of these, and I can remember diving into them whenever we were over there for the holidays and family gatherings. So Mad Magazine, would you consider that a gateway comic?
It's funny because, like, as we were coming up to this topic, it's sort of that question, what was your first comic? I don't remember. I have no idea what my first comic was. I don't know what got me into comics, but I do remember reading Mad Magazine before I ever read comic books. So I'm assuming to some degree that, yes, that got me into comics to some level. I don't know how much, but I think it's a natural...
That's where I learned the word schmuck. I mean, like, I didn't know half the words in there. I eventually, you know, started calling people schmucks. But no, when I was a kid, I read that most of my knowledge about movies made before I was born comes from Mad Magazine and the parodies of it. I've never seen some movies, but I recognize them. I'm like, oh, yeah, I read the Mad Magazine version of the Witches of Eastwick or something. You know,
what was the one, the Towering Inferno, I think was, I remember that as being a big Mad Magazine
I still remember the Indiana Jones.
Do you think they've done a lighter side of podcasting?
I hope not.
One yet?
I doubt it.
Absolutely. Mad. I don't know about anymore, but at the time, I think. I mean, I don't know. Do kids, you know?
I hope people still read Mad. And we had the great story, a couple weeks ago, that Mad is doing that whole crazy villains story, and they're going to have some...
Interviews with different creators and stuff.
No, I think the guys are actually working on...
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're working on it. Yeah, it's their...
Working
it's their
it.
Stuff. Well, I mean, you know, Mad has a long history, and, you know, there were some amazing, talented artists that worked in Mad Magazine, so there's no... Yeah. And now it's just sort of obscure. You know, I mean, it's become irrelevant to some degree.
Oh, and I hate
but
that.
did you guys, if you were Mad fans, did you look with great derision upon Cracked magazine?
Yeah.
No, I didn't ever have. I mean, I liked Cracked too. So
when I was a kid,
with it.
And I'd go to the grocery store, I'd make my mom get me a Mad magazine so I could read it while we were doing grocery shopping. And one time they didn't have it, they only had Cracked, and I would not read it because I was like, "No, I am a Mad magazine reader. I do not read Cracked."
It explains so much about Tom.
I refuse to read Cracked.
All right, the second gateway book on Dan's list was G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero. Says, when I was 8 or 9, it was all about G.I. Joe and Transformers. One of my best friends was in a military family, and he helped me find this comic series based on the toys we spent countless hours playing with. And that was me growing up. I grew up in rural America, and it was, you know, out in the sandbox with my little brother and all the friends in the neighborhood playing G.I. Joe and Transformers and
Losing
Star Wars.
Losing your Destro in the sandbox.
Don't talk about Destro like that, or Cobra Commander.
Staring at the Baroness.
Well, you know, I mean,
no one saw the really blank look on Tom's face there for a second.
As we'll learn a little bit later in the show, as we go,
we're going to talk a lot about G.I.
Joe. G.I. Joe's the big one.
I mean, that was like the first, you know, real strong marketing
toys,
comics,
cartoons. For, I mean, 2 or 3 generations.
Yeah, that they and they sort of started that whole thing of combining all these different you know, things to attract kids to it.
Yeah.
So the comic was naturally a gateway thing.
I wonder. Right,
and more so, it was the toys and the cartoons were a gateway to the comic, and then from there.
Was there ever a character cooler than Snake Eyes?
No.
His
Timber. His Timberwolf.
Oh yeah,
was probably cooler.
What
than
about
him.
Snake Eyes versus Wolverine? Who wins that?
The fans.
I don't.
The fans win. We all win.
All right. Now we're getting into what I wouldn't really refer to the next two as quote unquote gateway comics, but I think Dan saw them as being very important in keeping him in comics and expanding his appreciation of the medium. The first one is
and after seeing his room.
Oh, that,
you mean the
pictures
Borders,
of his like
Borders Junior?
Yeah,
Dan, will you adopt me?
It's like, oh my God, he posted some pictures of his reading room.
Well,
quote,
no,
unquote.
Someone said, oh my God, it's like Borders. And did you hear his response to that or see his response?
He worked in a Borders.
No, he said. Oh, my room is so much better than the
Borders. It is. Yeah. It's got way.
There's no kids like grabbing all the manga books and like laying on the floor.
You know,
but anyway, I just
it's ridiculous. But he says Fantastic Four. He says so. After moving past the kiddie comics and into the world of licensed properties, the next logical step was into the world of superheroes. I knew Spider-Man from the Electric Company, which, you know, Dan's probably around our age. That was probably the first time I ever saw Spider-Man was Electric Company. And had seen the 60s Batman series on reruns on the weekends. I think it came on after the Little Rascals on Sundays for a while there. Thank you, Dan. But I think it was the John Byrne Fantastic Four that hooked me into a larger world.
Oh, baloney.
Archie. That was actually part of my road into comics.
How the heck were you reading John Byrne's Fantastic Four? It was out. What year was that?
What is late
86?
Mid-80s.
All right.
Yeah, mid late 80s.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I call bullshit.
No, and I'll talk about my gateway comic.
I guess
comic.
You guys aren't as young as I think you are, but
I'm only 2 years younger than you. And then his last one is Sandman. He says after the break from comics in the early 90s, and this is funny. He says, which is like a rite of passage for our generation of comic readers. Says I was in college perusing several different majors and succeeded in killing more brain cells than most would voluntarily agree to part with.
Ooh.
But when I finally settled on an English major and started reading and writing more, I got the itch back. A few years earlier, I had sold off a large portion of my collection to an LCS, but now I was finding myself browsing racks with intent of filling the void.
I was
somehow
browsing racks about that time, too, but different kind of
racks. basically, he goes on. He started reading Sandman, and that got him back into kind of more serious comics and also attracted him to the trade part of the industry because he could catch up and read things.
You could keep them in a nice, neat row on his shelves. Yeah. Perfect.
Well, it's funny that, you know, it's like I don't really consider Fantastic Four a gateway comic in the sense of what we're talking about, but you hear people talk about that book more than maybe any other that sort of hooked them into comics and maybe brought them to another level of appreciation for comics. So on that sense, or in that sense, I suppose.
Sure. And I think Sandman has been, I don't know if a true gateway comic, but it's definitely one that is recommended by just about everyone to say, hey, here, read this. See, comics aren't just for kids.
And if you're a woman, you will enjoy it.
Yes.
Don't talk like that.
What?
Lene Taylor may slap you.
If Lana Taylor wants to come down to the shop and slap me, she can come down. Until then, I'll just ignore whatever she says on the internet.
No, but that's one that is always thrown out there as a great introduction for people to get into comics. I don't necessarily agree with that. As far as
it
that
depends
book.
On the person.
It depends exactly.
You know, I'm not giving that to maybe a 10-year-old, but
no.
or like I don't know, just I mean, it's a great book. And I will highly recommend the Absolute Edition.
Oh, the Absolute
Edition. Friggin' gorgeous.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
But, I don't know.
Buy a child the Absolute Edition.
No way, man.
Hi, this is Andy Parks. You are listening to Around Comics.
Our next one is from Paul D.
I was a comic strip nut. I would read anything humor-based. Peanuts were the top pick, but I would still buy BC, Wizard of Id, Garfield, whatever. As long as it was a comic strip, I was on board. Even though I was a superhero freak, movies and TV primarily, it never dawned on me to buy a superhero comic until I saw Spidey wearing a black costume on the cover of Secret Wars. Can't remember what issue that was. Which issue was that, Chris?
Number 8.
Yeah. He looks so cool. I just had to see more. I read that last part. Creepy.
You are a little creepy sometimes.
So yeah, comic strips. You know,
you were talking about like the disdain for cracked.
Yeah.
I had like the same thing for like comic strips.
Really?
I hated comic strips. They're like, these aren't comics. You know,
there's
panels.
Only three panels.
Yeah.
The Spidey Man
sucks.
Comic strip just always left
awful,
me wanting.
Awful.
Yeah.
You know, and it was later when I think around the time of. I don't know, some of the better comic strips that came out when I was a little older.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Calvin and Hobbes was a huge
one. Farside. I've always liked the single frame ones.
Mm. Family Circus, when you get to see where Billy's walking around. He gets into such crazy things. How does that happen? Man, that's crazy.
Good Lord. All right, our good buddy Jersey Droz from Make Like a Tree Comics. Alright, Sen says, when I was 7 or 8, my parents came home with a huge stack of Silver Age comics. It was the stuff like Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
Awesome.
That's Tom's Tom's new favorite. Superman.
I got a stack of those in the trunk of my car right now.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Holy shit.
And like Lois Lane, Superman's girlfriend,
Lois
Lane.
Are you?
I swear to God, I have
what are
you probably
gonna
do a dozen
them?
Of each.
What possibly shittiest? Condition
yeah, they're in horrible
care.
Condition. But
Tom just lit up like a Christmas tree. He's like, bing.
Yeah. I'll take my parents.
Oh, goodness. He said Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, which we apparently can see if we go out to the trunk of Sal's car.
You just had a genuine exciting moment in the show.
Casper the Friendly Ghost, Richie Ritz, and some Supergirl comics from the late 60s, early 70s. The ones where you could send in your own designs for Supergirl
plus
casual
a
wear.
Of Legionnaire. I think, and Legion.
We'll see.
For the longest, can you let me read Jersey's post, please?
It's like the swap shop. I got an old
chair. For the
chair.
Longest time, I thought that's what comics were. Joyful, wacky adventures where some nutty color of kryptonite would turn Superman into a nerd. So, old comics. Gateway comics? You know, the hand-me-down comics?
Depends. That's how I got into it. Someone handed me a box of old comics.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, like, I don't remember how I got, but I think there were a lot of factors in me in getting into comics, and I remember I do have an older cousin who had read some comics and gave me some, and so yeah, I think that's a huge thing to, you know, to give kids comics that will definitely turn them on.
People get into it by people just handing them old, like,
yeah. Here, read this.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they're going to, you know.
Here's one that you'll appreciate. This is from Jay
Stars.
Oh,
hey, wait, one second. Uh-huh. I wanted to go back to the last one about, the Spider-Man in Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all bitch about like crossovers, but I don't think there's anything that brings in new readers, like huge
crossover
events mm-hmm. involving iconic characters, and you know, it's
like, I get to see everyone.
Well, it's like Death of Superman, or Spider-Man's costume's going to change, or Spider-Man Unmasked, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. You know, we, you know, as like longtime comic book fans, we sometimes hate these
things.
The
death of Robin.
Yeah, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I think those things bring in more new readers that maybe they know who Robin is, they know who Spider-Man is, you know, because those characters are iconic, mm-hmm. or they know who Superman is, but they don't read comics until, like, wow, there's this amazingly huge
event. You just named a couple of them. What are the landmark events that transcended the industry that brought people in?
Crisis, I think, was a huge event dying and... The whole, you know, multiple
changing
worlds.
Changing
the whole universe.
Line changing.
Yeah, probably Death of Superman.
Death of Superman, Death of Robin, Spider-Man Unmasked.
Well, Spider-Man getting married.
That was
huge.
Yeah, that was pretty big. Secret Wars, I think, was huge just because it was, like, the first monster, involved everybody.
Yeah, all of them.
What about Contest of Champions, though, guys?
Sorry, I don't know if that one brought in a whole lot of people. But I just think, we rip on that, but there may not be anything healthier for the industry than these huge, you know, cataclysmic events that people outside of comics take notice of. Because
whenever it gets on NPR, chances are someone's going to buy it. Jay Scars is one that sell like. I read some big name stuff, Supes, Batman, Spidey, Cap, but the book that really got me into reading comics was Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah, baby.
That was his hook. And he goes, I think that first issue I read was like number 89, and the cover had an army dude in a jail cell that had just shot himself in the head.
Awesome.
I haven't stopped buying comics since.
Did it come with like a crazy psychedelic soundtrack?
Scared me. So
I loved that comic. I wish they would come out with a Power Man and Iron Fist omnibus.
Oh.
They really need to do that because that was such an awesome book.
Well, would you put all 16 Iron Fist issues in, and then would you have, you know...
Separate dies.
I think you have to, yeah.
Yeah, 15. And then have... Was it 15? I thought it was 16.
No,
15. Am I off my rocker? Okay.
Ooh. Chris is wrong.
Mark has them, so...
Mr. John Byrne over there has them all, so... Lee Webb, one of our...
me to read this one, kind sir?
Sure, yes, go ahead. I'm doing all the work here. Yeah. South Eaton.
I'll read it. I'll switch back and forth. Okay, Lee Webb. I can't remember ever not reading comics. My parents had the Star Wars adaptation. I was born the day before the release of Episode 4. And some Marvel annuals, well, let's just say the real Star Wars 1. Sorry, starting the Star Wars podcast. And some Marvel annuals and some old Australian reprint of DC stuff around the house.
Four. A New Hope.
Not the first couple showings. They added that once they realized it wasn't. I suggest reading Raging
Bulls. Look at
Bulls.
The geek hat on Tom.
I read this book about 70s movies where they talked about they weren't really sure Star Wars was going to be a big hit, so they didn't want to put that in there until they saw.
Because people wouldn't. People would be like, what the?
Yeah,
did
it
I missed
sort of,
three of them?
Yeah, exactly. Or I think that's what happened. Well, anywho, back to Lee Webb. As I grew up, I collected He-Man figures, which had comics. But I started collecting comics when Batman movie came out, and I got an issue of Detective Comics 213, I think it was by Norm Brayfogle and Alan Grant, about Batman and the Joker in symbolism. It was awesome. I've been a collector ever since.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So, yeah, movie tie-ins. I think every time there's a movie that comes out.
He-Man, I remember but I don't remember it bringing me in. I think I was already into comics by the time He-Man came out, so. But I could certainly see... You know, that having an effect.
Sure.
The secret origin of Orko.
Oh, and...
Who was it that did, like... I saw somebody... Was it Scott Johnson that did, like, some unbelievable He-Man character
Master of the Universe stuff? Oh, probably.
Might have been Scott. Somebody did. I saw online. Scott's, it was just like, holy crap. Good. There was a Skeletor that somebody did. It was just unbelievable. Anyway.
Our next post here from absolute favorite people.
Finished eating, I can read this. This is from Pat Leica. My first comic book was Transformers number 3. I remember the image of Spider-Man swinging on a webbed-up Megatron well. Reading through it, I got curious about other comics, as I've always enjoyed drawing. Eventually, this led to G.I. Joe, then The Avengers, which was when I became a serious monthly reader. The rest, as they say, is history.
And Pat may be the only other person I've seen that has a geek room that would rival dance.
Yeah,
nerd room.
Welcome to my nerd room.
It is ridiculously nice.
Well, you know, one of the things he says that, and I think that was probably more of, you know, for me getting into comics was the art aspect of it. I always wanted, you know, to draw, and that's why I have a hard time like remembering when I got into comics, because I always remember wanting to be a comic book artist from forever. I mean, since I was, you know, whatever, sure. Since I can remember. So I think that certainly people that are interested in art, it lends itself.
You know, we've mentioned now G.I. Joe and Transformers and He-Man. One that didn't get mentioned in the forum, which actually kind of surprised me, which was another tie toy-in, but one that actually crossed over into the Marvel Universe was Micronauts.
Yeah,
that was
a big
crossover for a lot of
Micronauts.
People.
That was a cool book, man.
Who did Micronauts? Matlow?
Christopher Golden?
Was it Bill Matlow?
Or was it Michael Golden?
I don't remember.
Matlow wrote it.
Yeah. Micronauts was a cool book.
And for, you know...
I remember Micronauts fighting Star Wars characters. And
your own crossover.
Yeah, my own personal
make
crossover.
Make your own crossover.
LT Smash writes in, and if you've ever seen LT on any, and he's a Chicago guy, by the way.
He is.
Yeah, he needs to come in on a Friday and hang out with us. So
sure.
LT, come on down. But if you see him on any forum, he always has a Ghostbusters icon of some sort as his avatar. This is my gateway comic, was Ghostbusters from 88 Miles Per Hour Studios in 2004. Before that time, I had no interest in comics, but when I found out this was coming, I started visiting my local comic shop regularly. Since this particular book suffered from the ASB and R level of lateness, what does that mean?
All-Star Batman and Robin.
Oh, okay. I was like, very good, Tom. I would pick up assorted Big Two comics that looked interesting to me. Now I go every Wednesday, have a pull list, and waste time listening to hours of comic book podcasts.
For some reason, I thought this was Lana Taylor. LT Smash.
Speaking of All-Star Batman and Robin, there's a really interesting interview with Jim Lee on the Wizard Universe website that he talks all about the lateness and issues and stuff with
carved from marble. Next issue is stone.
Yeah, I don't know. But he takes all the responsibility for the lateness.
You know, on that whole All-Star line, I don't care about the timeliness of that. Because when it comes out, it's just there, and I appreciate it. And I'm probably saying that about Superman more than Batman and Robin, you know. But I don't see that as a monthly book, either one of them. That entire line, I kind of look at that like Planetary when it comes out. That's cool.
I'm not going to have a villain.
Planetary's almost over, by the way.
Two more issues.
Warren Ellis announced on his board that...
Oh, really?
Two more issues. Yeah, it's one... He's the...
26 comes out next week.
26 comes out next week, and that's, like, the actual end of the story.
And then they'll have
an
epilogue.
There's going to be, like, there's going to be some supplemental stuff, I think.
So should I wait, since I've been trading that one, should I just wait for the omnibus or whatever they'll do on that?
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to see an absolute, you know, edition or something.
Planetary.
Yeah.
Cool. Anywho, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, back to Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the real Ghostbusters. I always liked that cartoon.
Good comic.
Stuff. I never read it.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like the movie.
Yeah, sure.
Loved the movie.
I even watched the second movie.
Absolutely movie.
You like the second movie? It had its moments.
Yeah.
You know, the first movie?
More Egon.
And that's not a bad thing.
A bunch of the first Ghostbusters movie, like the building that...
Nobody steps on a church in my town anyway.
But you know the big architectural masterpiece building.
I mean, it's not really there.
That was filmed in St. Louis. That building is
everything
in St. Louis.
Everything's in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I can't wait. The National League representatives in this year's
wait
World
till
Series.
Matt Fraction just completely
destroys your
St.
city.
Oh, he said he'd do that if the Cardinals won the World Series.
I think
so
he's going to do it no matter what, win or lose.
I mentioned the Cardinals.
You know, I did think of another thing that a gateway. You know, cartoons a lot of times. You know, I remember like watching. Or being a big fan of like Mighty Mouse and Adamant and Kung Fu
Goody
Louie. What was his name? Kung Fu Louie.
Oh,
that's an Adamant joke.
Oh no, what do you? Oh, the dog,
Kung Fu
dog.
Yeah, what the hell is the Kung?
Kung Fu.
There we go.
Thank you.
Kung Fu. I don't remember if that was pre or post me reading
or during.
Yeah, I don't know.
Relaunch your history and just write.
I gotta have to just well, I do know like
it.
One of the
just
first.
On it. You can make it whatever
what
you
year,
want.
What year did Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew come out?
Oh gosh, Yes, and the wrong guy.
Anybody know?
80s,
anybody?
I think. 82, 83, yeah, no, something like that. This next one is from Big Ben. We need a Foley artist to go with her. Like the guy who makes the sound effects on radio shows. They could have done like Thunder.
Intern. Foley. Give me sound effects.
Give me lightning. Thank you.
Thank you. Good day.
What first interested me in comics was actually the X-Men and Spider-Man cartoons of the 90s. I loved those shows as a kid, and my parents were good friends with a man who was a huge comics guy. He has an Amazing Fantasy 15 and, like, the first 150 issues of Amazing Spider-Man.
Those are the only good ones I've heard.
And I mentioned how much I liked the cartoons, and he gave me a trade. Spider-Man, The Origin of Hobgoblin.
And he gave me Amazing Fantasy 15.
Yeah. Cherish it. And I was story
doesn't. I hope this story doesn't end with some sort of, like, criminal investigation into...
It's going to end up like that episode.
And then we went into the steam room.
Sorry.
And now I email Pages.
The guy who owns the bicycle shop. I'm going to take off my shirt, and I'm going to play Neptune, and you can ride on my back. Sorry, Big Ben. We just turned a cherished childhood memory into a horrible event.
Yeah, well.
All right, anywho. Again, the trade is still one of my all-time favorite Spider-Man arcs, and is pretty much responsible for the hobby and my being a favorite. Well, I'm sorry. You confused me by the short. Shorting Hobgoblin to hobby made me think that he was talking about his favorite
his
hobby.
His hobby, not his hobby. So yeah, Hobgoblin.
Sorry, hobby is his
the
favorite.
The origin of
Hobgoblin
is his.
Guys, don't abbreviate things.
Tom off.
I am like Ron Burgundy. I will read it exactly.
Tom has no idea how to handle that.
But I think the one thing I want to touch on was the X-Men cartoons and Spider-Man cartoons, and not Spider-Man.
I hated them once again. It was
not Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends, and I think that did bring a lot of people in. But the Spider-Man, the 90s version.
I liked the X-Men one. I didn't like the Spider-Man one.
You know, they were both independent of each other time-wise. Were the number one rated Saturday morning cartoons for a while?
Really?
Yes.
That crap? Oh, sorry.
Snap.
Dang.
I liked the X-Men one a lot for whatever reason, because I think at the time I wasn't reading it, so it never bothered me that I was...
That the continuity was all off?
Yeah. Was,
that Wolverine sounded Australian.
No, you're thinking Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
Wolverine was in Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends?
The really bad Australian one.
No, there was a pilot episode for X-Men... cartoon from like the 80s where he has an Australian accent.
Yeah.
And there was only one episode of it, and it's really
awful.
Terrible.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But then one from the 90s was, I thought it was all right.
I wasn't watching cartoons by that point.
Well, they did the whole Dark Phoenix saga.
Weak Rocker said, my mom collected the old Marvel Star Wars comics.
Have you done his sketch yet?
No, which I still have, and my brother and I would read the shit out of those when we were kids.
We're going to read the shit out of this book.
But my mom always went to the comic store every week. The first Batman movie really got me into comics. I don't know how I talked my mom into buying me Batman Digital Justice and Arkham Asylum.
I don't know either.
When I was 13.
Good Lord.
Before that, it was G.I. Joe and Transformers. I took a long break until my friend, the comic book fan, Matt Brown, suggested a comic called Preacher.
And I was 14.
To me. This is the first thing I read that showed me that comics could be a medium of different genres as opposed to just one genre, i.e. superheroes. This comic led to the works of other creators like Warren Ellis, Alan Moore, largely based on the Vertigo brand. And that's what we're talking about. I mean, you know, leading you from something to something
else.
Gateway
drug.
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. It's like, you know, heroin leads to crack, and crack leads to...
Jail.
Women.
Oh, I don't know.
Jail.
Strippers. Ecstasy and strippers.
If you're white, do coke.
Sorry, Alex.
Alex oh, God. Jesus!
Preacher. The Preacher was sort of a gateway. Well, no, maybe not. I think Preacher is one of those, you hear a lot of people say that book sort of changed their opinion of what comics could be.
Yeah, that's so right there with Sandman, as far as it leading
you know
into a bigger
world.
It goes
hand in hand with that almost. Sometimes Preacher's also the one book where when I see people complain about stuff, they say, this isn't anything like Preacher. You know, like that's like the book people always
it's the
like,
watershed.
When they read like a Vertigo book and they're like, this isn't as good as Preacher.
Well, yeah, you can
that's
do that.
That's just an observation.
Yeah,
it's observational
hard to do.
Humor.
Such a good series.
What's
up?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got one more post, and then
we have a
post after that, which I think we wanted to save Mr. Oliveri's post until last because it leads into our next segment, and this is from Steven from just another fanboy. It was the summer of 1984,
and I finally did listen to some some of his podcasts, Just Another Fan, because
fantastically produced. You said,
yeah, I'm like, good God, how much time does this guy sound
smooth?
It is unbelievable. It's like, if I didn't know he was doing it now, it sounds like classic radio, like, you know, The Shadow or something, where like all these sound effects and voices.
He has a Foley artist.
He has, yeah. I mean, I think he has a crew of like nine people working on the show.
We're 51 episodes. We just got our intern.
I know.
That's
what's
so
that?
Not fair.
There's not even coconut halves to do horse sounds.
I did listen to coconut.
Kip-flop.
So anyway,
he's like,
he said, it was the summer of 1984. The reason I know this is not that I am great with dates. In fact, I'm terrible with dates. The wife can ask me, what day did our only son, our firstborn, start school last year? To which my reply would be, I don't know. You know I'm terrible with dates.
Like he's just using that as a crutch to not have to remember dates.
Says, I do, however, remember the comic I bought that day, or at least that my dad bought me. It was the first comic I ever owned. It was G.I. Joe number 25, and it was released in July of 1984, and I have been a comic fan ever since.
Yeah, G.I. Joe, man, that's
big,
you know,
stuff.
Yeah, everybody seemed to have.
I like G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe was cool, man. He was,
everyone digs it, man.
Go Joe.
They were like superheroes, but with guns. And,
no one ever died.
Well, except for that one Devil's Due issue where they said no more guns. And it blew Norton's mind.
But
not as many
by that point,
guns.
You know, he was drawing subliminal messages of, you know, rape.
Roadblock oiling himself.
Yeah,
for like
who knows what the hell.
So you guys, Gateway Comics for either one of them? Sal, you kind of said no.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the only thing, like, my earliest experience with any sort of comic medium that I can remember was Charles Adams, the Adams family from The New Yorker. I used to, at my local library, they used to have these big art books of his. There was like two or three of them. And that was like the first sort of comic book kind of thing that I ever remember reading. And I think, you know, that twisted my mind a bit. And that led me into a lot of other things, like, you know, horror movies and stuff like that. But I think it also led me into comics to some degree. So that's sort of the earliest thing that I can remember. But other than that, I mean,
your first taste.
Yeah, I never, like, picked it up from, you know, TV stuff or adaptations. I never really got into that kind of thing. So,
Tom?
Mine was just a box of old waterlogged coverless comics.
Nothing
mostly
that
should
be.
Yeah, like, as they should be.
Like the one in my trunk?
Yes, like the ones I'm going to take out of your trunk later. And that's how I kind of got into it. I read some G.I. Joe, but I wouldn't say that specifically was one that sticks out in my mind is one that got me into it, but it was in the mix back then. I mean,
the silent issue of G.I. Joe is still a great comic.
I don't know that I ever read it.
Mark, issue number on that? The silent issue? 21. Yeah, it's.
I put in words.
Eyes.
I put in my own words.
You wrote Tom's comic?
I wrote my own comic.
Well, I just happened to have brought my very first comic that I ever
bought.
That
is a fucking lie. You bring those Doctor Who comics with you every week, and you lay them out, and you wait for someone to ask you about
What's with that Doctor Who comic? And then he goes in the whole diatribe of how it's
this is
comic.
Tom Baker.
He's the one that wears the
very good
Tom.
See his scarf.
I have a scarf. I have a 26 foot scarf at home.
Jesus Christ.
And it's so cold in Chicago. I will wear that son of a bitch.
I will wear that 20.
He wears it to work. And
have I ever wore the 26 foot long scarf?
You
to
wear
work?
Some goofy ass scarf that looks like a Doctor Who scarf.
Yeah, that's the 14 foot scarf.
Oh, it's, sorry. You know, it's funny when you first told me about Doctor Who. I had like my, you know, one and only comic book friend when I was little. And he was a huge Doctor Who fan, and he had a ton of Doctor Who comics and watched the show. And I fucking hated Doctor Who. I hated that show with a passion. I hated it so much. So it was just funny that you told me that was.
You don't like the Daleks?
I don't even know what a Daleks is. I watched like
it's not a Daleks.
It's
whatever.
A Dalek.
It's a Dalek.
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 Yeah.
I thought Dalek was like a.
It's
local
a Dalek.
Dalek?
Whatever.
Dalek.
That's what I said. What did I say?
Oh, stop.
The only thing I wanted from British entertainment was Benny Hill. That's as far as I went. But
there's a funny
Benny Hill.
What was the funny Benny Hill line in a comic this last week?
Good God, I don't know. I doubt if I'd even remember.
Oh, it was in Punisher Max. It was.
Yeah.
That was the one question you want to know from the chick is, why do Americans like Benny Hill?
Because it's fun.
But we digress.
Because it's like bad Three Stooges.
But yeah, I was like 10. I would come home from school every day and watch Doctor Who. It was on at 5 or 5:30 on the local
PBS station. Did I mention I hated Doctor Who?
Oh, hush.
Sorry.
Get off my cloud. And I would watch Doctor Who every day for a half hour. That was kind of like, you know, my TV time before dinner. And went into Campus Comics in Carbondale, Illinois.
Carbondale.
Yes, Carbondale. And saw Marvel Premiere number 57 featuring Doctor Who. Collector's item issue.
Yeah, it tells you it's a collector's item.
First American comic book appearance. And I would just
how
like
much
to say,
can you pick up that issue for now,
Mark? $2.
What's that worth right now? That first collector's issue.
In mint shape, it's probably like $5 to $8.
Wow, that's more than $1.
Jesus,
you can find it for $1.
Nice, but I would like to point out is that I had absolutely fantastic taste from the very beginning.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. I knew as like an 11-year-old. That art by Dave Gibbons was obviously, you know, the sign of a good comic.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a collector's item.
Not only number 57 of Marvel Premiere, but Doctor Who number one, also first collector's item issue.
Yeah, well,
so
not just a first issue,
first
collector's item.
Also with art by Dave Gibbons, and then
bag and board it now.
Yeah, it is bagged and board. But went on and got the rest of the Doctor Who series. And what was cool, and I just found out here this week, is that there are some reprints from the Doctor Who Weekly magazine from the UK that have David Lloyd art and Alan Moore written stories.
Yeah, so. But that was back when they were really bad.
Oh, hush. But so anyway, Doctor Who was my gateway comic, and I went from Doctor Who, and whenever that series was kind of winding down, and I was going to the comic shop every month to get that, then I started reading X-Men, and then I got into John Byrne with the X-Men, which led into Fantastic Four and his run on that, and then I was hooked. And
Witchblade.
Chush. Witchblade actually helped bring me back into comics in the late 90s. Not for long. I just happened to keep it on my pull list
for
6 years.
For 6 goddamn years.
But, so Doctor Who was my gateway comic.
Well, there you go.
We have one more post here. Tom, why don't you go ahead?
This is from Mike Oliverian.
Author of Werewolves, Call of the Wild from Moonstone. Please pick it up.
Woo!
Bram Stoker award-winning author Michael Avery,
and cigar connoisseur
and poster on our forum.
Yeah,
segue. It was and now for the rest of the story. It was G.I. Joe for me. I believe shortly after issue 30, my brother and I were both into G.I. Joe. We had a ton of action figures and, of course, watched the cartoons. The neighbor kid, who was a little older, had saw the comics and showed them to us, and he said he was selling them. I bought a couple and was hooked. I raided our school milk money jar for nickels, dimes, and quarters to buy more, and, of course, got into big trouble for it. Fortunately, that didn't keep Mom from taking me to the comic shop, with the exception of a two-year period in the mid-90s. You mean the traditional... traditional
Requiem
90s break? I've been hooked ever since. Stealing milk money to buy G.I. Joe comics.
You know, whenever you start with that, now the rest of the story.
Do
people outside of Chicago know who Paul Harvey is?
I do. I'm
here and I don't know who Paul Harvey is.
You don't know who Paul Harvey is?
And that boy turned out to be Mike Oliveri.
Page 2.
And now you know. Quote. It was G.I. Joe for me.
All right, enough.
My bad ball, Paul Harvey.
Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap up our...
Gateway Comics.
Our Gateway Comics.
It's going to close the gate.
Gateway Comics, good.
Gateway to thievery.
I think as a whole, Gateway Comics can be very good. I don't think there's as much an impact now as maybe when we were growing up with them because of the availability of comics in general, but that's not... due to the books as much as just the industry.
Yeah, the direct market part of it. Yeah, but I still think they're out. And you know, one thing...
Counterpoint, it's bad. No, I'm sorry.
We may want to touch on it. Star Trek is going to...
IDW.
The IDW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark
Next Generation.
Dark Horse is doing Star Wars now? Have they gone back to...
They've always been doing Star Wars.
Yeah, but they keep relaunching.
Marvel's doing
different
Guiding Light.
Yes.
There's a Gateway
comic. There's a Gateway comic.
Or at least they're hoping it is.
Oni is doing My Name is Earl.
Oni is doing My Name is Earl.
I know Devil's Due Publishing is
Family Guy.
They just sent me
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
All in the license. And then the whole...
there's Transformers.
The Dable Brothers. Is it Dable or Dabble? It's Dable Brothers, right?
I don't... I think it's...
Dable?
I think it's Dabble, actually.
Okay, I thought it was Dabble. Whatever. They were in Anita Blake, which just came out last week.
Through Marvel, yeah.
Totally a gateway comic for Anita Blake fans.
And there's still the Buffy and Spike.
Sold
and
out
Star
at
Wars
Diamond, by the way.
Tron.
Anita Blake sold out at Diamond.
Yeah,
they announced it today.
That's pretty amazing. There must be. I don't even know who Anita Blake is. I never saw the books. I've never even seen them, so I have no idea. Okay. I'm completely out of touch with that kind of thing.
It
kind of
sounds like a novelized version of Buffy.
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, there's tons of them out there. I mean, and hopefully they do bring people in. I don't know that, you know, there's any kind of statistics on it, but
let's make some.
All right, well, let me just make them up.
100%. 100% of readers enjoyed G.I. Joe. It's like the North Korea statistical. 100% of the people voted.
All right, well, this is where we start to change the format of the show a little bit. We're going to end our main topic, and rather than go right into the news segment, that will be in just a little bit. But first, we have a new segment, and Sal, why don't you tell us a little bit about Comics 101.
Well, I was thinking, you know, we get a lot of emails.
Sorry, we need more explosions.
Oh, sorry, Comics 101.
Holy artist. All right. Start punching a big side of meat.
Comics 101. I had the idea because we get a lot of emails and posts on the forum and stuff from people that are comic readers, but either they're new to comics or they're just not... We sometimes forget that maybe we know way more about comics than a lot of people out there, or not... And I don't mean to sound like...
About specific topics, because, you know, honestly, we've been researching it for 2 weeks before we talk about
it. Well, that's all I mean. It's like, and sometimes we don't talk about...
Except Tom,
we assume people know the histories of things, or because we know them. Because we're grossly, you know, obsessive about comics. And
we
pick have
the topics
problem
that we know talk about.
So I thought, what if we did a segment, you know, every once in a while called Comics 101, where I just take a topic, either a book or a title or a character or a creator or whatever, and sort of just give a complete rundown, history, and everything about that topic that I could find using Wikipedia. And so this could be completely, you know, completely wrong for all I know. I mean,
this could be an elaborate joke.
The hard part about like comics history is there's only so much information really out there that anyone's ever put together. I mean, there's some good books out there about comics history, but depending on what you want to talk about.
99% of people in the world don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like TV history. You know,
or
movie history. It's so, not one distinct source for it.
I'm going to try and put these together on a regular basis, and they'll obviously be in, you know, relation to whatever topic we're talking about. So this week, I thought the first one would be G.I. Joe. Because, honestly, I didn't know that much about G.I. Joe beyond, you know, what I knew as a kid and that thing. So, start off. The name G.I. Joe was created by David Breger. When he was asked to create a comic strip for the United States military magazines during World War II, his strip debuted June 17, 1942, in the military's Yank magazine and Stars and Stripes newspaper.
Me love you long
Not
time.
Not that kind of Yank.
I just spit beer.
But I thought that was an interesting point because I'd had no idea that G.I. Joe actually, its you know, origin was in a comic strip, which is, to me, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
I didn't realize that. So
just spit beer all over my Marvel premiere number 57.
Oh, shit.
All right. Move forward a little bit.
Wet nap.
So there was a very successful comic strip, military comic strip, G.I. Joe, and that's where the character was first created. In 1945, United Artists released a movie titled The Story of G.I. Joe, directed by William Wellman and starring Burgess Meredith as acclaimed war correspondent Ernie Pyle. And so the legend of G.I. Joe started to grow.
Get him, Rocky.
Why
are we going to make this so hard?
That's the only, like, idea of Burgess Meredith you have.
Either Rocky or
Rocky the Penguin. All right.
When you get a Cesar Romero story, I'll see my Joker.
Where's John Centris?
Frank Gorshin. In 1964, the character G.I. Joe became a series of military-themed action figures produced by the Hasbro Toy Company. The toy line began with the aptly named G.I. Joe, featuring members from all four branches of the armed forces: Action Soldier, Action Sailor, Action Pilot, and Action Marine. At the time, the G.I. Joe figure was approximately the same physical scale as Barbie dolls, 12 inches or 305 millimeters tall, and it was also called Play Scale. Forward a bit to the 70s. In the wake of the Vietnam War, Hasbro sought to downplay the war theme that had initially defined G.I. Joe. The line became known as The Adventures of G.I. Joe for a time. G.I. Joe was cast as the leader of an adventure team, an adventuring spy-like organization, and the goal of fighting evil. The look of the doll also changed in 1970 with the addition of a flocked beard, an innovation developed in England by Palitoy for their licensed version of Joe Action Man. A retooled African-American adventure was also introduced around the time. In 1974, in an apparent nod to the growing cultural popularity of Kung Fu,
the Kung Fu Grip,
the Kung Fu 70s.
Hasbro introduced the Kung Fu Grip to the G.I. Joe line. This entailed sculpting the doll hands in a softer plastic that allowed the fingers to curl and grip objects in a more lifelike fashion.
In more Kung Fu fashion.
More Kung Fu fashion, yeah. In 75, after a failed bid to purchase the toy rights to the $6 million man, Hasbro issued a Bionic Warrior figure named Mike Power Atomic Man, which sold over 1 million units.
That's kind of like Cracked versus Man.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
Mom, I want the Bionic Man. Here's your Mike Power. I don't want Mike Power.
doesn't have the telescope through his eye. That's weak.
Also added to the adventure team was a superhero, Bullet Man. Both figures were not in the mold of the rest of the team and further confused the G.I. Joe line for those continuity freaks of the time.
People were sitting around like,
What Bullet
this
Man?
This doesn't work with my baby killer set with hippies yelling at me as I'm getting off the plane.
In 1976, G.I. Joe and the Adventure Team met new foes from outer space when the intruders, strong men from another world, were introduced. These armored, caveman-like aliens, although smaller than G.I. Joe, had a button on their backs which could be pressed to make them grab with their crusher grip arms.
Kung Fu grip.
Well, these were available in the bearded and gold armored commander and the unbearded silver armored warrior. Beards were big in the 70s.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that a bearded or unbearded was alien. Such a huge option. Yeah. Well, I want my alien with a beard.
And this brings up an interesting, you keep talking about the Kung Fu, like when we first mentioned the Kung Fu grip, and that's what everyone thinks the Kung Fu grip was that action of it chopping, but that wasn't the Kung Fu grip. The grip was just the hands that could grab things. So.
Like a set of nunchucks.
Right. Around the same time, G.I. Joe was given Eagle Eye Vision, a movable eye mechanism to allow the toy to appear to be looking around with a lever in the back of the head was moved.
That's fucking creepy.
This would be the last major innovation for the original line of 12-inch
figures. What kid likes that? What kid's sitting there like...
Well, it was competition with the Bionic Man. He had the microscope.
The telescopic eye.
Can you imagine you're a parent and you just bought your kid this and your kid's just sitting on the floor making the eyes of this character follow you?
Well, it was 1976, so parents at that time were probably doped up on something. Anyway.
Watching Welcome Back, Kotter, and having a good
time. Dad was in the corner playing with the movable eyes.
In 1977, Hasbro released the Super Joe Adventure Team, scaled down to 8 1/2 inches. Super
Boom.
Joe Commander and the Adventure Team with their alien comrades, the Night Fighters, Luminous, and the Shield, fight against the evil Gore, King of Terrons. And the Terran, the beast from beyond, and his ally Darkon, the half-man, half-monster. By 1978, By 1978, the petroleum crisis had taken a toll on the profitability of the 12-inch G.I. Joe line. Drastic increases in the price of petroleum increased the cost of the plastic used to manufacture the toys. After the failure of the Super Joe line, Hasbro decided to discontinue domestic production, although foreign licensees continued to produce their own versions for some time.
So,
Chinese
ripoffs. So, like, the beard option? How much oil goes into
the
making
beard?
A beard for your Darkon figure?
In 1982, saw the highly successful relaunch of the G.I. Joe product line in a smaller 3 3/4-inch scale of the same type employed by the widely popular Star Wars figures. The 1982 relaunch pioneered several tactics in toy marketing. The release of the 1982 line, known to the collectors as the Real American Hero, or RAH line,
we love acronyms,
was combined with not only traditional paid advertising, but also an animated television miniseries and comic book series. The comic book, produced for years by Marvel Comics, enjoyed surprising success thanks in no small part to the unique television advertising and the writing talents of Larry Hama, who worked closely with Hasbro to develop a unique identity, background story, and personality for each character.
The funny thing is, and I'm not surprised this doesn't show up in your Wikipedia article, is that Larry Hama killed a man in the early 80s to know what it was like to...
Researching G.I.
Yeah,
G.
to
Joe?
See the terror of what...
Stop.
To see all what right, it would feel right, like to right. be Tomas or Zaman.
Larry Hama and...
Tomas or Zaman.
I have a funny story about that.
I actually talked to Chris Crank from the Crankcast, and he said that Larry Hama is just an amazingly interesting guy. He's done, like, work on The Sopranos.
He's done... His G.I. Joe stuff is really actually amazing.
Well, he did it for like 8,000.
Well, he took something. Well, let's get here.
Anywho, back to the news.
The comics, in contrast...
No, it's not the news. It's Comics 101. The news is later, Tom.
The comics, in contrast to the cartoons, were much more realistic in their portrayal of violence. Some characters were even killed. No major characters, except for one special issue, in which more than a dozen named Joes were executed by a random Cobra soldier, an event which initially distressed Cobra Commander. Since its debut in 1982, the comic book history of G.I. Joe has seen three separate publishers and four main title series, all of which have been based off the Hasbro toy line of the same name. The first series was produced by Marvel Comics between 84 and 93, running for 155 issues and spawning several spin-off titles throughout the course of its run. It was unique at the time in that it was a comic book series that was promoted on television commercials, which also supported the toy line. The 155-issue series is considered one of the longest-running comic book tie-ins to a toy line. Much of its success is to be credited to Larry Hama, who wrote the entire series save for a few issues with guest writers. Rather than treating the stories as a mere promotion for the toys, Hama wrote the series with seriousness and infused it with doses of realism, humor, and drama. Other than Transformers, no other series was able to duplicate its success. Notable artists include Herb Trimpe, Ron Wagner, Rod Wingham, and Marshall Rogers. Issue 21 became a fan favorite. The one
the
Chris
silent.
Not only because the Cobra Ninja Storm Shadow was introduced, but that issue also became a prime example of comics' visual storytelling power.
Ninjas are quiet.
That's right. A number of differences existed between the comic book and the animated TV series. Certain characters who were very prominent in the comic book, such as Stalker, were featured very little in the cartoon, while characters who were less prominent in the comic book, such as Shipwreck, were very prominent in the cartoon series.
I like Shipwreck.
And the most notable difference...
Who was the guy that always had the toothpick?
I have no idea.
That's Subway, the sandwich guy.
No. There was a guy who always had it.
The sandwich marine?
There was a guy... I remember, you know, the cards on the back of the...
Do I?
Yeah, where you cut out the cards. And
there's an interesting tidbit in here about those, by the way.
And it actually mentioned on his bio that he would chew on a single toothpick for weeks.
Jesus.
The most notable difference...
Depends on how stressed he was.
Were they mint? The most notable difference between the comic and the cartoon, however, is in its handling of combat. While the cartoon was notoriously campy about showing that every character in every battle survived, for example, every shot of an aircraft being shot down was shown to have its pilot escape in a parachute, the comic did not shy away from death. Some of the titles that came off of the first Marvel series were G.I. Joe Special Missions, G.I. Joe Order of Battle, and a couple other... Order of Battle was a four-issue comic series that reprinted the data found on the action figures file cards with some edits and all-new artwork of G.I. Joe characters by Herb Trimpe. Published in 1987, the first two issues featured G.I. Joe members, while the third issue focused on Cobra, and the fourth featured various vehicles and equipment used by
my favorite characters.
Organizations. This is a good one. The second issue caused some controversy when it erroneously listed Sylvester Stallone's Rocky Balboa as a character, Rocky Balboa character as a member of G.I. Joe. While negotiations had taken place concerning the character's membership on the team, the deal had fallen through.
Awesome. Right. I could not. I would love to see pretty much a borderline mentally handicapped man as a part of, like...
America's Fighting Force.
A Snake Eyes gives me...
just point me where you're going to go.
But, in fairness, Rocky Balboa ended the Cold War in Rocky IV.
Well, that he did.
So, something G.I. Joe...
And they can do it! Anyway.
Yeah, if you all can learn to like you, you can learn to like me.
I would ask you to tell your friends about the Around Comics podcast, but let's face it, your friends are a little bit on the two-dimensional side, aren't they?
The third issue contained a retraction stating that Rocky Balboa was not and had never been a member of G.I. Joe. The trade paperback edition of the series removed mention of the Rocky character entirely.
Hit eBay, guys.
The success of these books translated into other spin-off series, including G.I. Joe vs. the Transformers, G.I. Joe European Missions, Tales of G.I. Joe, How to Draw G.I. Joe, and others, as well as being big, as well as issues being translated into foreign languages, including German, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Swedish, Norwegian, Finnish, Japanese, Arab, and other languages.
I like the European adventures. None of their adapters worked in their hotels.
Beautiful.
Keep it coming, guys.
In 1987, Blackthorn Publishing released six bi-monthly issues of G.I. Joe in 3D and one annual. These issues were to be read with 3D glasses. The stories did not really contradict the Marvel continuity, but are not generally considered canon and not in the same continuity as the new as the main Marvel and Devil's Due runs.
Interesting.
Blackthorn also published the three official How to Draw G.I. Joe comics around the same time. In 1996, G.I. Joe toy line was relaunched in the G.I. Joe Extreme series. Dark Horse Comics acquired the rights to publish comics based on this property. The first started with a four-issue miniseries that introduced the character. The miniseries was written by Mike W. Barr and drawn by Tatsuya Ishida.
Oh, Mike W. Barr.
Though the toy line and the cartoon tie-in are both titled G.I. Joe Extreme, the comics dropped the word Extreme from the title. The miniseries was immediately followed by an ongoing series. A fickle comic market, and the poor performance of the toys quickly ended the series at four issues. Interestingly, Dark Horse Comics never mentioned it was canceled, but on hiatus in its news releases.
The still story, might come out, guys.
The stories are not set in the same continuity as in Marvel and Devil's Due Runs.
I think everything in 1996 was renamed Extreme.
Yeah.
I think that was my extreme junior year of high school.
I'm still waiting for that and Mike Norton's Nightclub comic to come out.
In 1999, new publishing upstart Bench Press Comics proudly announced the acquisition of the rights to produce the G.I. Joe and Transformers comics. The G.I. Joe project would have seen the return of Larry Hama to the... Am I saying his name right? Is it Hama or Hama?
Hama?
It is best if we continue to say it the exact same way throughout the episode.
Larry Hama to the property he helped
Larry
make... to make popular. The plan was to release two G.I. Joe monthly series. One would feature a core cast of characters, while a second title would make use of a rotating cast with stories not unlike special missions. For various reasons, the negotiations stalled. Bench Press went bankrupt, and before even one issue was published, G.I. Joe Comics was in limbo once more.
So now, if you so there aren't any out of Bench Press comics.
No,
they never made any. Interesting.
No Bench Press. In 2001,
it is interesting. It's genuine.
Another comic studio acquired the rights to G.I. Joe. Devil's Due Publishing, through Image Comics, released a four-issue miniseries written and drawn by Josh Blaylock, along with artists John Lartner and Steve Kurth. The Comics Convention special was released before the first issue. The miniseries was a success and immediately led to a fifth issue and a monthly schedule. The new series continued the storyline from the Marvel Comics run and combined it with elements from the animated TV series. All the primary cast members return and many new characters are introduced. The new series also had several spin-offs, series and miniseries, and was also responsible for bringing attention back to other 1980s properties such as Transformers, Masters of the Universe, and Voltron. In January of 2004, Devil's Due left Image Comics and began publishing as Devil's Due Productions.
Today, above the 7-Eleven right down the street.
Yeah. Today, Devil's Due continues to publish multiple G.I. Joe titles, including G.I. Joe America's Elite, G.I. Joe vs. the Transformers, Dreadnoughts Declassified, G.I. Joe Scarlet Declassified, G.I. Joe Sigma 6, G.I. Joe Reloaded, G.I. Joe A Real American Hero, and more. So there is your G.I. Joe history.
You got it all, guys.
I got it. Wow.
Yes. Please let us know if you liked comic books.
I have a funny G.I. Joe story.
Okay.
About 3 years ago, I got a phone call at about 3 in the morning from a friend of mine who lives in Seattle. And he said, I have a bet at a bar about the name of those two brothers who paid for Cobra. And no one here knows the answer. He's like, what are the names of those two guys? And he put it on speakerphone. I'm like, oh, Tomaz and Zaymot. And I heard this whole like bar of people go, oh, and some people go, yeah.
Well, there you go, man. Geekdom paying off.
And I went back to sleep.
That's hilarious.
Like, right afterwards.
Well, so that's the first installment of Comics 101, our G.I. Joe history, so that's probably
better
than...
We've got a good one coming up next week.
Next week is going to be a very good one, I just wanted to mention that I'm going to also post this whole thing on the website. There'll be a new section
called Comics 101. Or you can just go to Wikipedia.
Well, there was not really...
I know, you pulled some different
stuff. He did some different stuff.
I did some research, but yeah, I didn't, like, you know, write any of this.
He was
I
mean,
I was just... But there's also some links. There's some good links if you want to know more about G.I. Joe. There's some good websites out there, and I'll post those on the site.
I guess it's probably a good time to talk about next week a little bit because the spooktacular Halloween coming up. So
the spooktacular.
Halloween spooktacular. Yeah, we just did the Chicago Mini Con, so now it's time for the year-round comic spooktacular.
Yes.
So yeah, if you want to know, I have no idea what you're gonna do, but I'm figuring lots of EC comics and horror comics.
Well, I know
we're
looking at some special guests. I know
Frankenstein.
I think we're gonna have Steve Niles.
Yeah,
he's gonna join us for a little while, talk about horror comics as sort of the guy who restarted the horror buzz in comics, really, with with his stuff.
Our buddy Brent from from Horrorwood,
and we're trying to get a hold of a gentleman from Gem Publishing who publishes the EC archives and I can't remember his name. Chris, what's his name?
Russ Cochran.
Russ Cochran. He's basically kept EC Comics alive for like 40 years as his own personal pet project. So hopefully we'll get him on the phone and talk a little bit about EC Comics and then maybe some other people
too.
Maybe
an interview with Frankenstein?
Sort of. Maybe. or Dracula. Could have that. And then some other spooky.
Tom's next interview.
So yeah, we're going to do a Halloween spooktacular episode next
week. Excellent. Love the Comics 101. Thanks for putting that together.
Sure.
And I think that will.
And next week will be the history of EC Comics.
Fantastic.
Fascinating stuff.
Oh, I bet.
Is there anything as creepy as a child playing with a toy whose main feature is its eyes move?
I don't know. Maybe.
I can't get over that.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. So now where we would normally go into Wired Comic News, we're going to put that off for just a couple minutes. And
screw you.
You're not always going to announce it like that, are you?
No.
You're going to announce the change?
It's for those comic fans who don't like change. And people
these are for the people that
already worried
to
about
our episodes. Because Sal's like,
continuity.
We need to change. I didn't change. And he's just like, Chris never listens to me. He just nods yes and no
don't
and does whatever he wants. So
this is like ultimate Chris. This isn't like real...
Ultimate Chris.
This isn't like the actual in continuity Chris.
I was thinking it was like Earth X Chris.
Earth X Chris.
So what are they announcing?
I'm excited. My baseball team won last night.
They
I am powerful
did,
and mighty.
All right. Enough about your.
All right, guys.
Birds.
Now, onto our second installment of the announcements here.
Ooh.
Please.
Well, first.
Please.
Before you beg them to order a book,
mm-hmm.
we should tell them why.
Is going to kick ass.
Well, Mike Norton, a friend of our show and also the one of the hosts of Crankcast and a talented artist in his own right, is taking over duties on a couple of issues of
The All-New Atom.
Starting
with issue number 7.
And I'm officially giving up my boycott on that book. I said I was going to boycott it because they were not going to have John Byrne on it anymore. But now that Mike's going to be on it for a couple of issues and hopefully longer than just a couple... I'm
ahead of time too, so order it.
Everybody.
First of all, Gail Simone's writing it, and it's a damn good story.
It's a good book.
It is a good book.
You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. But we're asking everybody to go and order it and check it out.
Try
and,
it.
I tell you what,
Mike's
for,
a good guy for, and a good artist, and
for all the listeners out there,
yeah.
Go buy it, pre-order whatever, and if you do, email us at info@aroundcomics or email me at chris@aroundcomics. Let us know that you bought it because you heard us talk about it on the show, because I want to be able to tell Mike, it's like, hey, X people said that they listened to us and they went out and they got the All-New Atom because we said that they should check it out. So I would love for you guys to do it. So
order it.
Please go
look
out
at
and
it.
Pick up the All-New Atom.
If you don't have a pull list, look at it, pick it up, maybe pick
I was
put down
do
that you know, that variant cover and buy that. You know?
I was gonna do like a thing, I was like, okay, if you order it, you know, scan in the barcode and send it in and I'll send you something. But then I'm like, wait a minute, if like all of our listeners do that,
Jesus
I can't
Christ.
Afford to send them anything.
Can afford stamps.
Yeah.
All
so right.
Unfortunately, I can't send you
he's
anything.
Very, you won't be disappointed. He's an,
oh, my, my,
this
yeah.
isn't charity. He's an extremely good artist,
yeah.
and it's a good writer.
If you want to see what Mike is working on these days,
Runaways.
Just check out Runaways.
Yeah.
He's the current artist on that, and plus, he's just a hell of a nice yeah. guy.
Listen to Crankcast, too. I enjoy
and
it.
He's tall.
They're starting a new story arc where Crank is searching for a car. So if you listen to the last episode, you'll be totally caught up.
He's been
and you can
like
understand.
Wandering around Chicago
yeah.
looking for a car. He's
so
like,
all you have to
he's
do
looking
listen.
For like what, like a '63 Dodge Dart or something.
Yeah, A pacer. He was going to get that pacer off eBay. But listen, don't spoilers for Crankcast. Go listen to it. You'll be caught up far enough. You can go back and listen to the air conditioning arc and the television arc.
Well, like,
television arc.
Episode 54 was like a whole new creative relaunch of the podcast.
Well, they tried to, you know, like trick everybody into
the reboot.
Yeah, the reboot. And
it didn't go over very well.
Much like
I think they were a little disappointed because people, you know, didn't miss them quite as much as they thought they would.
No, I was pissed. Much like Bench Press Comics never actually released an issue of G.I. Joe.
You were very
upset?
That
aborted first attempt at...
At the reboot?
The post-crisis Crankcast. I want my multiverse back.
Yeah, 1 year later, the post.
Yeah, 1 year later.
All right, anyway. More announcements. The hotline, Sal.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show just like this.
David D.
Hey, guys at Around Comics. It is David D. calling from New York City. I hope you're well. Well, you really have to hit a lot of buttons to get to the voicemail. I'm not complaining, but I think probably the president has to hit less buttons to launch.
That's not true. He just needs two keys.
Than I just did. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I love the show, of course. And I had a thought. I had a thing I was thinking of. Since you are Chicago guys, I was wondering what you thought about, and maybe this could be, you know, a short discussion, what you thought about Chicago stories in comics, and why it seems in comics that all the sort of native Chicago superheroes leave. You know, Kitty Pryde was from Chicago, but she left at age 12 or 13 or whatever she was to go live in Westchester with the X-Men and then England, and she's never come back. Blue Beetle, Ted Kord, a great character from Chicago.
Evanston.
You know, did Chicago for a little while, but then left to go be with the Justice League in New York, you know, and then left for, you know, for death. Rather
left for death. I think that's
for
where
a
you
bullet.
You know. Or even, you know, I was thinking outside of superhero stories. Road to Perdition, of course, is a great, you know, great Chicago story, but it's kind of, I mean, it's
Kitty
really
Pryde was actually from Deerfield.
Kind of about getting the hell out of Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most of that story is like, Jesus, how do we, please, we just, I just want to get my son and I away, as far away from Chicago as
that was
I
like
can.
Back in the 20s.
Well, no, that didn't start,
you know,
in Chicago, though.
Terrible people there.
No,
and
it
I
didn't start in New York, it started,
you know,
in Southern Illinois, and then it
what
moved
you
to
might
Chicago.
Be able to do to make Chicago more attractive.
I'm from Southern Illinois.
You know, to get more comic characters to come there and to stay there. You know, if there's anything like tax incentives.
Hot dogs!
Free hot dogs?
Making
best pizza in the world.
And appreciated.
We don't have
you
enough
know,
crime.
As
we don't have enough supervillains. That's the only thing that'll bring superheroes is supervillains. So Tom, get a costume, a gimmick.
So many characters.
He's saying they got the monopoly
stories,
in
you
New York.
Keep track
well,
of them.
They do.
So
it's because all the artists
that I feel
know,
like on
all those guys
of New York
were from
City,
New
I'd
York.
Like to give you some, you know, the ones that you can have.
He's going
to
give us the crap
because we have too many. I understand I haven't read them, but in the latest issues, Nightwing is in New York City now. Hey, you can have him. You can have Nightwing. That's all right. You know, we got a lot.
He's giving away Nightwing as a New Yorker. His
New East Teen Titans. I think they live in the East River. Have them. Take them. You know, or Spider-Girl. Aranya. The Slingers. And really, all the Spider-Slingers. All the Spider...
I never seen somebody, like, take pride in where a comic character
you know,
is
I'd even, I'd
living.
You
that's...
Strange. In a Greenwich Village where he's
the
got...
New York,
you know,
it's East Coast biased.
His sanctum.
Whip the Mets ass.
The village is really gentrified now. The village is changing a lot. And I
Andy
bet
Chavez,
like
catch
you know,
be damned.
Lived in the village a long time, don't recognize it anymore. And maybe he could come. He could live on that, I don't know what it's called, but you know that pier in Chicago that has the Ferris wheel?
Navy
pier? On it, and the little midway. He could live there. You know, I bet that gets spooky at night. I think he'd like it. So I give you Doctor Strange. Anyway,
Doctor Strange
I hope
would not
helped.
Live on Navy Pier.
Maybe
right,
again,
we have Lincoln
a
Park
discussion. You know, do you think Chicago is being shafted
with Wong
as a comic book?
Roger
yeah.
And, you know,
Humboldt Park.
About
Humboldt
it, you know,
Park.
Do you think there's more that you
Humboldt
all could
Park.
Be doing as Chicagoans?
We don't.
Anyway, love the show, and
we don't need them
to hear more
because we're not full of crime lords.
We have a city full of heroes. They're called the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah!
Yeah! Fire department.
That's right.
Real heroes.
We don't need your superheroes.
Yeah.
There are more police in Chicago than my hometown has population.
You're supposed to help us.
I think this call just comes directly from the Yankees not making it to the World Series. The
Mets, East Coast bias. You know,
yeah,
East Coast bias.
He's just insecure, you know.
Is he a member? Is he an Eastern intellectual liberal?
I don't. Yeah. Is that like an eel? Is that
E-I-L? David is a very clever young man.
Yeah,
that was a very fun.
How young is he? We don't really know.
We don't want your stinking superheroes.
I cannot wait until February whenever we're in New York because I'm really looking forward to meeting David and all.
The only thing I'm nervous about is when I show up with my belt made out of a rope and my like straw hat that I might get confused by all the tall buildings.
Your corn pipe.
There's people that drive cars and you pay them to take you places. Oh, this is sure is bigger than the city I'm from.
So anyway, thank you, David. We actually we have another voicemail, which is from our buddy Andy Jewett. I had gone out to South Bend a couple weeks ago for the 24-hour comic book day, and Andy and all the folks at buymetoys.com, which is not a website, actually it is a website, but it's also a huge comic book store in South Bend, were participating in 24-hour comic book day, and I asked Andy if he would call in and give his report on it. So this is Andy's report.
Hey, Around Comics, this is Andy Jewett with the 24-hour comic book day report. It was nice to see Chris and have him stop in for a little bit and hang out with us. It was, I apologize for the fact that it's not really a social event. We weren't able to spend any quality time really, really talking. But, you know, when you're trying to basically finish a page every hour in 24 hours, kind of have to stick to it. But it was great to see you. Hope you enjoyed your time at buymetoys.com. Great owners there, Jim Kelly, really generous folks. They let us take over their shop basically for a full day and just provided us with food and drinks and just a fun atmosphere to work in.
I thought it was providing access.
I know, we just have a good time when we're together.
Access.
Most everybody, there was about 10 of us participating, and just about everybody completed their 24 pages, which is pretty great because it's obviously not a really easy thing to do. I got 20 pages done, so I didn't quite finish, but I was pretty satisfied. The last time I tried to do this, I only got 8 pages done. So I don't know, maybe the next time I'll be able to slam out 24 pages. I'll be scanning the pages as soon as I get them back and post them on the forum for anybody who's interested in taking a look at
drawing feverishly
what I
when
got
I was
done. And I know Jamie Hood is on the forums a lot. Maybe he'll post his stuff. His stuff looked great. So, yeah, that's about it. I mean, I highly encourage anybody who's even considering participating in the 24-hour comic that they do it next time around. It's a great event. It's a great way to see where you're at in storytelling, and just a good way to stretch yourself. It's a fantastic event.
So you give out 8 balls at the door.
Yeah,
that's the way I'm doing it.
Around Comics is great. We love the show. I know I personally need your show to get through some of these 2 a.m. drawing sessions when I'm trying to get stuff done. It's a nice motivator and just a good way to entertain yourself while you're at the drawing board. So
I
really appreciate you guys.
At 2 a.m.
You're doing a lot of good work, and we hope to hear more from you. So, keep it up.
You got me on a science kick, you know that time?
Science.
Word. All right.
Blinded.
It's ironical. He doesn't mean
so,
it.
So, thank you, Andy. And 24-hour comic book day when I was there, a lot of fun. Those guys were working their asses off, but it looked like they were having a great time doing it. So, that was fun. You can go find the thread on our forum, the little report on it.
Yep.
Sal, shopping around comics.
Shopping around comics. Go to the Amazon store, buy some Around Comics gear. Just help us out a little
buy
bit.
Buy a shirt, buy a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Buy a car.
A Stein.
A Stein, some thongs.
Round Comics thong. It's still there.
Round Comics thong. Still there,
sticker.
Guys.
Right.
Pins, magnets.
Frapper. Buttons. Now this is we're catching up. This is like 2 weeks worth of Frapper. So yeah.
Let's go.
Now.
David McLean, Anchorage, Alaska.
McCreath.
Whatever.
Syme.
Another Australian.
Is that Simi or Syme?
I don't know.
Let's say Simi.
Simi.
Simi? Melbourne, Australia. Another
Australian.
We are huge in Victoria. And we're throwing down the gauntlet to
There's
Victoria.
Like five Australians that have signed up on Frapper.
And I don't know. Australia's big, but I look on the Frapper map, and they don't look that far away.
Yeah, they're like right next to each other.
We're challenging all of the Melbourne area guys to get together.
It's one dude with multiple personalities,
probably.
I think is what it is.
But get together and record yourselves and send it to us. Yeah. And have fun.
Jonix.
Australian story, actually.
You have a funny Australian? Yeah. Our intern is piping in.
You're
not paid to be on mic.
Australian story.
Okay. So... Intern, use a mic, damn it.
Sorry. Jeez. You wouldn't give me a mic. So I made a post about being excited about buying X3, and you also made the same post, Chris, saying we were going to go pick it up that day. Somebody took the time to Google my screen name, then found me, and then searched me out through MySpace to send me a message trying to figure out where the alternate endings were on X-Men 3, and she happened to be from Australia. I was like, went through that
you
much trouble.
Anybody else?
And she actually had to create a MySpace account
to
send me a message. And that's the only reason she
couldn't. Couldn't she just signed up
They'll
for
be
the
married
forum?
In a year.
And I was like, couldn't you just like
she
could have
signed up.
Posted on the
hey,
forum?
Hey, listen, mystery woman.
Seriously.
Sign up for the forum.
That sounds creepy in some ways, though.
Well,
I don't know. That's a little,
I kind of blame it on the fact that you know how their toilets go backwards? It's kind of a backwards way of getting to people where she could have just done it directly.
Next week, there's going to be a knock on his door at like 2 a.m.
All right. All right, intern, back to work.
Thank you, listener.
Let's see. Who else is on the Frapper mat? Jonix from Eustis, Florida. He said, or she. I don't know if it's a he or she. Around Comics rocks. Thank you.
Oh, Ms. Tony Johnson.
No.
I don't know if that's a man or a woman.
Tony Johnson from England. Keep up the good work, he said. Troy Cormier. How do you know it's Cormier?
Because Riel Cormier used to be a pitcher for the Cardinals, who
are
the National League representative of the World Series.
Anyway, Ben Gartner, Portland, Oregon. He said, I'm candidly enjoying a Captain America popsicle, true believers. I don't know what that means.
Is that a
fellatio? I think it's cold in Oregon.
Is that a fellatio reference?
I don't want to know.
Ratneff, Brampton, Ontario, Canada. D-Man from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Big Wonder Woman fan.
Baxter, Washington, Pennsylvania. Isn't that the second Washington, Pennsylvania we've had? Maybe
yes,
I think it was.
No, we had George Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
The funny name.
Baxter said, around comics around the world. Richard McAuliffe from Pontypridd?
Welsh things are...
Wales?
It probably is like Pontypriff, but... 2 D's equal an F in Welsh. And right. Crazy shit like that.
Richard said, looks like I'm your first Welsh edition. Borda and all that then. Borda? That, I don't know what... That must be another Welsh...
Yeah.
Turtles all the way down.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
these
like
people.
The turtles thing.
speak American, damn it.
these people. We're going to have to come over and invade your country and teach you how to talk like us.
Jay Beckett from Goose Creek, South Carolina. Another South Carolinian, Gabriel Hardman, I think is a porn
Hardman.
Star in Los Angeles, Hardman. California.
Hardman.
Shane White, Seattle, Washington, he said, oh, Lord, sometimes I get so excited I black out. When I wake up, my pants are usually tied around my neck. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Shane White is a ridiculously talented
he's
artist.
He's on our forum all the time. He's a great artist.
Shane is fantastic.
Jay Mulford, Fairfax, Virginia. Kyle Fallon, Bakersfield. Why do I know that name? Kyle Fallon.
Kyle Fallon.
Bakersfield, California. Jay Scars from Arlington Heights, Illinois. We heard from him.
That's just
earlier.
Right up the road.
Simon McDonald, Ontario, Canada.
Simon.
The guy that was on the show. The Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And that's it. That's all the Frapper.
Hey, Frapper good folks. Work, guys.
Yeah. Keep signing up for Frapper. You can go to frapper.com. It's F-R-A-P-P-R.
Sign up more than once.
.com/aroundcomics, or just go to our website under the
community
mm-hmm. section. Join us.
It's cool.
One
it's cool.
of
see
us.
Where
us.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of us.
Nice.
One
folks,
us.
Please spread the Around Comics love. There's a few ways that you can do that.
Spread
first
your
one
seed.
Is the Listener LCS Challenge. We have a new flyer up there. It's been up for a couple weeks now. So just go to the site, click on the Listener LCS Challenge banner on the left side of the website, download that PDF, print it out, and if your comic shop is kind enough to display that in their store, we will mention you on the show, just like buymetoys.com at 6327 University
Commons.
When I first
read that, I thought it said blowmetoys. Like, wow, what kind of comic shop is that? Blowmetoys.
You're
going to
shock Kelly.
500 copies of Lost Girls.
Nice. Buymetoys.com at 6327 University Commons in South Bend, Indiana. It is a fantastic comic shop. The place is huge, and they have so much stuff. So I want to thank Kelly for being such a good host for 24-Hour Comic Book Day. And also check out the Oz Wonderland Chronicles, because Kelly and her husband, who I Casey, I believe is his name. Casey works on the Oz Wonderland Chronicles.
Oh, really?
Check that out. Yes. Yeah, he
I
draws
didn't know
it.
That.
Yeah, he draws it.
Oh.
So, real interesting comic. The Dragon Slayer, Comics and Fantasy at 6111 Burnett Road in Austin, Texas. This is our other new one.
Austin?
So, we have a flyer.
There's only two things that come out of Austin, Texas. No, it's, never mind. Sorry.
So, once again, Dragon Slayer, Comics
Them
and Fantasy
people.
At 6111 Burnett Road in Austin, Texas. Thank you. Along with the Source Comics and Games in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, and California Cards and Comics in Elk Grove, California. And, of course, Dark Tower Comics in Chicago.
Of course.
Yay!
So if you have a chance, drop us a vote at Podcast Alley. I think we're like on the top 100 or real damn close this month.
Are we?
It's kind of funny. Yeah, we'll never push it. And, of course, my favorite, the iTunes Music Review. Go to iTunes and the iTunes Music Store, find Around Comics, and write us a review. Be as cool as Andy Parks.
We're stuck at 58.
Yes, we've been
get
on 58.
Get us to 60, guys.
Who's going to get us to 60? That's the big question.
The race to 60.
Me.
59 and 60, we'll read your review
next
week. Mark,
just tell me a fortune
cookie.
Can I tell you a fortune cookie story?
Yeah, okay,
real
fortune cookie
just
story.
Real quick. I don't need
not
fortune
that we want to talk about fucking comic books or anything. Sorry, Alex.
I don't need fortune cookies any longer, because the last time I opened a fortune cookie, a spider crawled out of it.
Ew.
Swear to God.
That's good luck, though. That's
no,
good
that's
luck.
What
that's
I thought.
Chinese
that's
for good
what
luck.
I thought until I talked to this Chinese guy I work with, and he said it's like a curse. Yeah. So...
I'll eat the shit out of that.
All right, guys, that is the first half of the show. It
really?
Is time to move over
Jesus
to the news
Christ.
Desk. It's time for Wire to Wire Comic News.
These are your top headlines for the week of October 16th, 2006. IDW Publishing is pleased to announce the return of Star Trek to the realm of comic books. The legendary science fiction franchise that spans 6 television series, 10 motion pictures, and hundreds of novels celebrated its 40th anniversary and named IDW Publishing as the source for all new Star Trek comic book voyages. IDW's plans for the Star Trek franchise in comics are far-reaching and will unfold over the next few months. The first Star Trek miniseries will debut in January of 2007 in conjunction with the 20th anniversary of Star Trek The Next Generation. I couldn't be happier to be shepherding Star Trek comics into the 21st century, said IDW's publisher/editor-in-chief Chris Ryle. Not only is this one of the most storied franchises in all of entertainment, but its history in comics is a long one too. And yet, despite the abundance of different Star Trek comics that have come along in the past, we've hit on some unique ways to bring new vibrancy and creativity to the line. Dark Horse has released a huge amount of information on upcoming books. Check out what Howard Chaykin and Mike Mignola are working on together, or what creators are going to honor Usagi Yojimbo's Stan Sakai. Want to know what's coming in Conan, or take a sneak peek at Rob Espinosa's The Courageous Princess? All that and more is available for your viewing pleasure at www.darkhorse.com, and it looks like 2007 is going to be an exciting year for the folks at Dark Horse. Marvel's Iron Man continues to attract Hollywood gold as Marvel Studios announced that Academy Award nominee Terrence Howard has joined the cast of the highly anticipated film. Howard will take the role of Jim Rhodey Rhodes, Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man's best friend, in the project slated to launch into theaters May 2nd of 2008. The addition of Howard solidifies an impressive foundation for Marvel Entertainment's first self-financed and produced feature film that also includes Oscar nominee Robert Downey Jr. in the title role and Jon Favreau directing. The move also reinforces the continued allure of Marvel's superhero universe among Hollywood's most celebrated actors. The votes are in, the winners have been decided, and Dynamite's Army of Darkness comic book series has won a Spike TV Scream Award. The series joined other comic book winners, including Frank Miller, who was honored with the Comic-Con Icon Award and voted Best Comic Book Writer for All-Star Batman and Robin, Sean Phillips, who was named a Best Comic Book Artist for Marvel Zombies, and speaking of Marvel Zombies, The Runaway Marvel Hit by Kirkman and Phillips was voted Best Comic Book. Dynamite's Army of Darkness won its Scream Award for Best Screen-to-Comic Adaptation. For a full list of the Scream Award winners, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Relaunched last month, the new incarnation of ComicsInTheClassroom.net now features regular columns by all-ages experts such as Tracy Edmonds and John Norris, interviews with all-ages creators such as J.M. DeMatteis, Kevin Gribeau, and Mike Bullock. We'll be joined by regular press releases, reviews, and news regarding the latest information on all-ages comic books. Comics in the Classroom is striving to become the place where teachers, parents, students, and comic fans of every age can find the latest news and resources focusing on all-ages comic book content. Warren Ellis' Next Wave sold surprisingly well, but not well enough for both Ellis and series artist Stuart Immelman to continue on as a team for the ongoing series. This was from Warren Ellis' Bad Signal newsletter. What they found was that at our current sales levels, they could afford for me to write it, but not for Stuart to draw it. Stuart, as a Marvel exclusive artist, commands a fee commensurate with his astonishing talent. I could continue to write Next Wave, but we'd need to find another artist. This, to me, was just wrong. Everyone at Marvel pitched in to try and make it work, but the numbers were just against us. So, Next Wave number 12 will be the final issue on the ongoing series. However, the numbers game changes whenever you talk about things in terms of a limited series. Next Wave number 12 will be the last issue of the ongoing series, but there will be more Next Wave to come, presented as a sequence of limited series. J. Michael Straczynski and Mark Silvestri will appear at the New York Comic Con as guest of honor, joining other newly named guests including Gene Colan, Peter David, Michael Golden, George Perez, and Kevin Smith. The list of special guests who will appear at the New York Comic Con is growing day by day, notes Greg Topolian, the event director for the New York Comic Con. We couldn't be happier with the enormous talent that has come on board already, and we're looking forward to making many more announcements about guest appearances in the weeks and months ahead. The New York Comic Con will take place in New York City at the Jacob K. Javits Center, February 23rd through the 25th. Dangerous Supernatural World of John Constantine just added its newest recruit, and it could mean trouble for everyone's favorite mystical raconteur. Vertigo is proud to announce that versatile and renowned writer Andy Diggle will be the new regular writer on Hellblazer, the imprint's longest-running series, starting with issue number 230, hitting stores in March. Diggle, best known for a lengthy and acclaimed run on titles such as The Losers, Swamp Thing, Lady Constantine, and Adam Strange, will be taking the character of John Constantine back to his roots with a potent mix of supernatural horror and social relevance. And while Diggle will be mining Constantine's rich history, these stories will clearly serve as an ideal jumping-on point for new and former readers of the series. This Halloween, Tomorrow's Publishing is treating the first 500 people who visit their web store to a free copy of back issue number 18. Tomorrow's, publisher of the comic industry's top historical and how-to magazines, is offering this opportunity to try their acclaimed magazine, spotlighting the best comics and creators of the 70s, 80s, and today, in an effort to expose more readers to their top-selling publication. "There's no tricks," said Tomorrow's publisher, John Morrow. "Our hope is that after sampling this amazing issue, even more people will start to order back issue at their local comic shops or subscribe. Starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, October 31st, the first 500 customers who visit Tomorrow's website at www.tomorrows.com can click the link for back issue number 18, place it in their shopping cart, and it will be mailed to them at no cost the following week. The offer is limited to one copy per customer and or address. For the full story, please check out www.aroundcomics.com. These have been your top headlines. For the full version of these and other stories, go to www.aroundcomics.com, your source for the best in comics news, reviews, and opinions. Those are your top headlines for the week. From the top here, speaking of Gateway Comics, and we had touched on it briefly whenever we were discussing it earlier, IDW is going to be publishing Star Trek comics.
What does IDW stand for?
I have no idea.
Independent Distributing of Wealth. I don't know.
I wonder if it has to stand for something, right?
We'll have to check out the site and check it out. So, so Star Trek comics coming back. IDW's got them.
Star Trek.
I love Data. I can't get enough of that character. I have a Data T-shirt.
I like the dance.
What is it? Is it his face? Or?
It's his face on the front. On the back, it says "Fully Functional."
That's the coolest Data shirt I could imagine.
I'll wear it next time.
This story is so old because we've been doing 50th episodes and whatnot. About 3-4 weeks ago, it was announced that Rhodey Rhodes is going to be played by Terrence Howard.
That wasn't that long ago, was it?
It's like 3 weeks ago.
Was it 3 weeks?
Really?
Yeah. Terrence Howard is going to be Rhodey.
Yeah, but I wanted to put it in the news because it's a big deal. That cast is really starting to
Favreau's
come
really,
together.
You know, cranking up the Academy Award nominees.
Robert Downey, Terrence Howard. We're starting to get some really big time talent.
Dame Judi Dench is going to be in it.
Who's she going to be?
And,
Pepper Potts.
The suit.
Pepper Potts.
Thank you.
She's going to be the suit. Judy. I got to put on Dame. She has to get there like 3 hours earlier than everyone else so they can carve her
open.
CGI
Dame Judi.
Dame Judi.
Oh, goodness. Army of Darkness won an award at the Spike TV Scream Awards. And, Sal, you told me that you had watched the Scream Awards.
Yeah. I T-voted, and then I like fast-forwarded through most of it and watched a few things. I
you
watched like
stop for the comic stuff. Basically.
Yeah, I stopped for the comic stuff. I mean, you know, I was a huge like horror fan, and I like the idea of the whole Scream Wars.
You can't
Wars.
Wait
it's
for the spectacular, can you?
Oh,
You're excited.
But
he comes up to me a day at work. He's like, "Oh, I know what we got to do next week. It's Halloween. We're doing a show on horror comics." I'm like, "All right, sounds good.
We
to
have
me.
To." But Scream Awards was kind of interesting. I thought, you know, it was a pretty good idea, but I thought it was executed poorly. The thing I liked about it is they don't take it serious at all. They know what they are. I mean, it's like, you know, we're doing an award show about all the crap that nobody ever talks about, all the stuff, you know, whether it's comics or TV or horror movies or whatever it is. So that was kind of cool.
The Devil's Rejects is never going to get nominated
right,
for
exactly,
best,
you know,
you know
and,
movie.
But the couple of cool things, that Robert Kirkman accepted an award for Marvel Zombies.
Oh,
no, Marvel
Zombies,
Zombies
that's right, yeah.
Best comic. And then Frank Miller.
It's so funny because it's Marvel Zombies was fun, but it's not The Walking Dead. It's just doesn't.
Well,
have
I mean, it all depends on what you're judging it on. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's,
but it is newer, sure.
Yeah. Frank Miller got a sort of lifetime achievement award or something. I don't know what they call it.
I'm sure he's got that. That's the Scream Award lifetime achievement. I'm sure that's right on top of the fireplace.
Yeah. And he, you know, he had a really weird speech. I don't think he's real comfortable talking in public, but
no way.
But you know, over the worst part of it was like the three hostesses that they had for it. It was, I don't even know who the hell it was. I can't even remember their names.
Yeah, Tara Reid.
No, not Tara Reid. Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan. Yeah.
What's her name? The UTF, or is it UTF? Occult Time Crash. Michelle Rodriguez. Is that her name?
No.
No, the one from Sin City.
Rosario. Dawson.
Oh, Rosario Dawson, and then some other blonde, and they were just bad. I mean, they were trying to like be funny and sexy, and
it's not easy to be funny.
That's right. It's not, and
easy,
they were just horrible.
Just
and, you know, it was okay. I mean, but it was kind of like I said, it was kind of cool because, you know, they took it for what it was, and it was all about, you know, the sort of stuff that fans really dig. But you know, any normal award show is not going to pay any.
But it's cool that they really did focus.
But they did focus
on comics,
and I thought one of the most telling things were both Frank Miller and Robert Kirkman had mentioned at one point in their individual speeches about, you know, it's like. You know, us in the comic industry, and meaning them, you know, really just want to be thought of as any other medium, whether it's television or film, you know, that kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they both happened to mention the same sort of thing. So
sure.
But so there you go.
All right. Comics in the Classroom has been relaunched.
Comicsintheclassroom.net.
Yes. So check them out. Good stuff. Next Wave. It's now limited.
No more Next Wave.
Well,
more Next Wave.
No. Well, yeah, exactly. It's like it's not an ongoing, but it's not the end.
Right. I don't think this is a bad thing necessarily.
No, I think it's a good.
Yeah, because I could see that book kind of running out of.
I think with a book like Next Wave, you're always walking a very thin line between the joke getting old.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like
absolutely.
So do you really want 30 issues of Next Wave? Every you know.
But it'll be nice to have a couple of
yeah.
you know, 4-issue, 6-issue.
You know, always want people wanting more.
Yeah.
That's the key to comedy.
Well,
I think Ellis probably could
yeah.
carry it for 30 issues, but...
He wants to keep it consistent.
And
you know, consistently
yeah.
good,
yeah,
I guess.
I think. You know.
Well, it's kind of like the BPRD thing. If BPRD was an ongoing series, I think it would run out of steam. But I like the fact that it is... You know, relaunched miniseries.
Right.
Each story is a new.
Well,
series.
I thought the interesting thing about this story was that they could, you know, it didn't sell well enough for them to pay both Warren Ellis and Stuart Immonen. They couldn't pay them both off of it, so that's why they're kind of canceling. Sorry, but there will be more next wave.
Yeah,
after number 12.
Once again, it'll be in. You know, ongoing, not ongoing, it'll be in renewed series coming up. So, J. Michael Straczynski, Mark Silvestri, and a bunch of other stuff. George Perez, Michael Golden, Peter David, Gene Colan,
us,
Kevin Smith, and Around Comics will be in the New York
Comic
Con.
Yeah. So, at the Javits, Jenkins Javits Center. What is it?
Jacob Javits.
February 23rd to the 25th. Look for Around Comics in Artist Alley.
New York.
Or Next Artist Alley.
Come drink with us. Come stand with us.
Yeah.
David
Except
D can berate us for coming from little old Chicago where there's no heroes.
Get cranky with us. Tired.
I don't think I'm going to be there, though. But you guys have fun.
Yeah, we're going to end up pulling you there.
Hug Tom.
You got to talk to my wife.
I'll talk to her.
It's going
to
be called a hug
Tom. Let's call
Tom.
Her right now.
No.
Get your number. Kim?
No. We're not calling my wife.
Let's have a hug Tom, shove Chris contest.
Although I did
think
so. I said, honey, you know, dozens of people are waiting for me
dozens.
To show up.
There's dozens of people.
And, you're going to be hearing a lot more
really
about
fly.
The New York Comic Con in the coming weeks and months. John Constantine, getting new writer.
Yeah, Andy Diggle. Or no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Am I right?
Diggle.
Andy
yes,
Diggle.
Andy Diggle. Which
That's
if you,
an interesting pick. Has he done any horror stuff, really?
Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did
kinda,
do the Swamp Thing.
Runs along.
There's been a couple Diggle.
Which
too,
is funny because Constantine came out of
Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Originally.
Yeah.
So it all comes back.
And it also got announced that him and Jock are doing the Green Arrow Year One.
Really?
Yeah, miniseries.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
if you guys have not checked out,
they're doing
the Losers,
a bunch of year ones, aren't they?
Like five of them.
They're doing a whole like, crap load.
Yeah,
of
Yeah, the guy
ones.
Who did Flash number 3 is doing the artist.
Uh-huh.
Is doing the Teen Titans year one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's a good fit
with the writer from the Teen Titans TV show.
Did you read Flash number whatever came out this
number
week?
Five? No.
Different artist again. I don't. I can't.
Not Sal Velluto, but that's what it said on the cover.
Oh, really?
It's not Sal Velluto. It's Roy Adrian. They but screwed it up.
Jesus, they don't know who's drawing it.
Anywho,
it was better. I thought. I mean,
you read it?
Yeah, I did read it.
Oh shit! Now you told me that. Now
I'm sorry. Well,
Tom's gonna have to run over and get it.
I don't know. I don't know.
If you have not read The Losers, please do so. Really good series, and I think it's gonna be one of those that people will look back on, you know, a couple years from now, saying, "Wow,
I have the first trade, and I still haven't read it."
I gave it.
Oh, is that yours?
Yeah.
I thought I bought it.
You're.
No, I gave that.
I need to read that.
But if you like that, if you like The Losers, they're doing Green Arrow, which I'm sure will be fantastic with them.
Something else coming out here.
One of
our favorite publishers of comic related magazines.
Issue.
Tomorrow's. Yes,
oh yeah.
Is going to be giving away a free copy of Back Action, not just a free copy, but 500 copies of Back Issue number 18.
The Green Lantern one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. So I believe it's in comic stores now. So don't wait for Halloween to come around to get your free copy. Run into your comic store and pick it up.
But if you can't, visit their website on Tuesday, October 31st. First 500 customers will get a free copy.
Yep, starting at 10 a.m.
Free,
Eastern
and you don't even
Standard
have to pay
time.
Shipping, I don't think.
No, they
not
send
even
it to
that.
You free.
Yes.
I got,
I mean, free.
I got
getting
I got
free.
Back issue number 1 from them on free magazine day, which was free comic book day, and they sent me a copy of back issue number 1, and I got a copy of all right, my girlfriend at her place got a copy of Alter Ego.
Oh, working the system. Nice.
Hey, but
a poor publishing company like Tomorrow's, and you're taking advantage of it.
Hey, but
I
buy their product. So Tomorrow's is fantastic.
I buy the product.
They put out good magazines.
Yes,
real good.
All right, guys, that's the news.
That's the news
for the week.
I feel so informed.
All right.
For the first time ever.
Another new mini segment coming up now.
It is?
It's Chris's top 3 favorite lines.
Oh, you've been talking about this. I'm not sold on this whole concept.
We'll see how this flies.
Yeah, we'll see if we're going to edit this out or not. Or?
Every week I'm reading, I read comics and I'll be like, that line, you take it out of context, it's so funny.
Do we have to guess where they're from?
Sure.
So it's books that came out this week?
I've already seen them. I know where they're from.
Okay.
Oh. So, I haven't.
I'll
guess.
I have a week.
I won't know.
I have a line to add for last week,
do
which
you?
I thought was one of the best lines.
Okay.
But you can. I'm gonna.
The concept of this is you pulled quotes
out of
comics, and you're just gonna read them out of context.
Just really good lines out of books.
Let's hear them.
The spirit of El Muerte Negra is eternal.
I know which one that came out of. That came out of Exterminators.
Exterminators number.
That
nine.
Was a great line. That's just a great character.
Kevin
too.
Throwing on the
I just love
mask.
Yeah, he puts the mask on. They turn around and they see him, and he's wearing the mask.
Let's rock. You know what's actually? I think it translates as
he's like a superhero now. He's
Oh yeah, it's Reed Exterminators. Exterminators 10 is fantastic, but I think that translates to the spirit of the Black Death is eternal.
Well, it is.
He is the Black Death.
He is the Black
I believe.
Death. He is the spirit of the Black Death.
And my next favorite line was blooded. Yes, blooded, as in the fox hunting blooded. Blooded boy, you've never rode the hounds.
Oh, that was X Factor.
No.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Oh, wait. I know I read that. Hold on. Blooded.
Warren Ellis, a clue.
You've been blooded.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've
it
been
was
blooded,
Warren
boy.
Ellis. It was Desolation Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I was mixing up that character with the Trip character from X Factor. Yeah,
I've not read X Factor this week. I have it. Still on the pile.
It's all about hunting foxes. That's why you got confused.
Really weird. He's talking about you've never been blooded. He's like, what's blooded? It's like on your first.
That was another Ellis character that hates Americans.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Warren.
But apparently, I guess on your first fox hunting. You would come back and they would cut the tail off of a fox and rub
it
on
your
face.
Which is funny because you're probably some sort of anemic royalty who's like, 5'3"
with bad teeth.
And oh, horrible teeth.
And blood all over your face.
Yeah.
You.
Oh, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom, for the foxtail. I just chased a poor little animal.
And my
to prove my superiority.
We're a bunch of big men chasing
my last
fox
favorite line for the week
horses
was
and shotguns.
My last favorite line was, "They don't make you deputy director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for having a nice rack."
That was Union Jack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very funny.
All right.
Can I add my one line?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, I'm surprised they knew all those.
Very good.
It's actually dialogue. And it goes, "Black Adam, Shazam, ISIS. What the hell are you doing? Seeing if it's contagious."
Oh, yeah. That was
that
great.
Was really good.
The question, right?
Yeah, for me, 23 of 52.
Yeah, that was
I
good.
Laughed out loud,
that was
actually.
A cool issue, man, with him doing that
yeah.
with Black Adam. Black Adam has turned into one of my favorite characters
with
in comics.
That actually made me laugh out loud
when
I read it.
That was funny. That was real good.
Chris has no idea.
You
what
didn't,
we're
I'm not reading 52.
52 is good. You know, I got like 8 issues into 52, and I was kind of with it. And I dropped a couple, and then I came back to it again. And man, it's really actually good.
Okay.
Especially the Black Adam stuff is fantastic. He's a great character.
As much of a Rucka fanatic I am.
What are you doing?
I should be reading it. But
seeing if it's contagious.
That was funny. That was really
it
good.
Just.
I didn't have a line. Oh well.
Feels overwhelming.
I can make one up.
All right, guys. That means it is time.
There was a great.
Wait,
I do have a line. Hold on.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Trying to transition into our...
Oh,
our
you already pulled one out of here, didn't you?
Go ahead.
Another? You gave it away.
You said you were... Oh,
there was a really good line.
Narrowed it down to 3.
I thought... I got to find it. Hold on.
Tom, did you like Desolation Jones this week?
I didn't read it this week.
Oh, you haven't read it. New artist. Hard for me to transition from the J.H. Williams art. By the end of the issue, I was digging it, but man, I love J.H. Williams.
Yeah,
he was great, but I like this stuff. Anyway, the line was, "In my experience, death is like a fucking bus. You wait and wait, and then 3 turn up at once, and none of them are fucking yours."
I love that line. I almost made that my line.
That was a good line.
Desolation Jones this week, great story.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get used to the art. Who did the art on that?
Denzel.
God, this is gotta be the fucking Zazel? Worst name to try and fucking pronounce. Look at that.
It's Danijel.
That's a lot of vowels.
Danijel.
Yeah.
It's Zezelj. How do you pronounce Zezel?
Zezel.
It's Warren Ellis and Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Zezel.
It was good. It was a really good issue though, I thought. So anyway,
I like the story. All right. Well, I tell you what, let's talk about some more comics in Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right, it's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. We're going to change things up a little bit. Tom and Sal and I, you know, we're all talking about it, and we always try and get new comics and things that we haven't read.
Yeah, well, the concept at the Top of the Stack when we originally came up with it was, let's pick a comic, each of us pick a comic of the week that we read and talk about it to try and introduce maybe stuff that people aren't reading to, you know, and say why they should read it. But the problem is we keep running into the problem that the books that we like the best are the same ones that we've talked about before.
Sure.
So how many times do you want to hear me say Exterminators?
Right.
Exactly.
Or Casanova. It's like this week. It's like Desolation Jones, Casanova... You know,
Exterminators, Queen of Country, Checkmate.
Get rid of the pretense. Get rid of the pretense of the
right.
So we're just gonna talk about what we read this week, good and bad.
We're gonna talk about what books came out in the week and
not bad, but wanting maybe.
Yes, wanting books that left us
wanting more.
Wanting
something else. Something
Top of the Stack is brought to you by
the Damned.
Created by Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt and published
Never
by
heard of
Oni
One
Press.
One fine goddamn book.
I'll read you the quote in a minute.
quotes.
It's the oldest story in the book, right? The rich get richer while the poor get the bums rushed straight into the gutter. High and mighty gangsters rake in the dough hand over fist. Rival criminal families hit the mattresses, and anyone who gets in the way ends up in the
world.
Open warfare and gangland murders are as common as night and day.
But here's what you don't know, wise guy. But as powerful as the mobs are, a more sinister force is pulling their leashes, using greed, gluttony, and lust to fuel his much more lucrative trade, human souls.
Those demons and mortals and half-breeds scratch and claw for their place of the pie, Eddie. Cursed and unstable to unable to rest, finds himself caught smack dab in the middle of a sinister web of kidnapping, betrayal, and damnation.
The Damn Number One is available now. You guys are crazy.
In an underworld.
We're
going to change the name of the show to Upchuckles.
And if you look on the cover of The Damned, AroundComics.com says, The Damned
Who
is a damned good
idiots?
Story. The team of Bun and Hurt have created something that has a world.
We fooled someone.
Or
world.
You could say an,
underworld
of promise.
In
guys,
an underworld.
The Damned came out this week.
Fantastic.
So good.
First
worth the entire $350. If you're someone who thinks you see a book that's over $299 and you're intimidated, this book took a while to read. You're not going to flash through it, and it was completely worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
You know, the thing I thought was cool about it was that, you know, the concept, you know, it's like the Sopranos and the demons kind of thing.
Yeah.
You would think that would be sort of, for whatever reason, would be played out already. But it wasn't at all. It was completely fresh and
I think it's because they added just enough stuff outside. I mean, any crime book is going to have cliches in it.
Right.
I mean, the only way to separate yourself out is to add twists or elements that maybe you're not used to seeing. And I think a book like The Damned has done it, just like a book like Criminal did it.
Mm-hmm.
They added just enough stuff
just enough
to make
to
make new.
It unique and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and the character Eddie is just a great character.
Well,
the whole concept of him.
Eddie's not a likable guy. He's a two-bit punk criminal, but
he gets away with so much because
he can't die.
He can't die, which is just a cool.
And you want to root for him from the beginning, just because he's such a sad little son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He's getting played so bad.
It was really, really good, and can't wait to see more from those guys.
Yeah.
And Brian Hurt's art is awesome. I got a book I want to talk about that came out this week, and I didn't think I'd really be able to talk about it today because it's a hardcover,
mm-hmm.
and it's a big, you know, kind of a big book, but I started reading it last
night
on the can, and I couldn't, like...
Nothing like reading a hardcover.
My longest poop ever. my legs fell asleep because I couldn't
stop reading. Your wife is like, honey, are you okay in there?
Fables, 1001 Nights of Snowfall from Bill Willingham through Vertigo. I'm a big Fables fan, but you don't have to be at all to pick this book up because it happens all long before the regular Fables storyline started. A lot of the same characters, and as Bill Willingham says in his own introduction, you already know these characters from fairy tales and, you know,
it's what makes it accessible to everyone.
So this story is a little bit different than what you might normally see in a Fables book. It starts off as prose with some illustrations, and then it goes into about 8 different stories that are done more in the comic book format with a little bit of prose thrown in between. And it all makes sense because it's a story of Snow White traveling to Arabia to talk to the Sultan to try and elicit their help in combating the adversary. If you don't know what that means, it's because you haven't read Fables, but you don't really have to read the book. when she gets there, they kind of capture her or whatever, and he wants to marry her and then kill her, because that's sort of his ritual. I guess he had a queen that cheated on him, so now every night he marries a virgin, and the next morning he kills her. So that's sort of the 1001 nights. So
sounds like Tom's college years.
Yeah.
So
Madison's a crazy town, guys. That's what I call Mad Town.
So
go Badgers.
So anyway, to try and get out of it, Snow starts telling him stories of the fables because he likes stories, and so she starts telling him all, and that's where the comic stories come in. Just great stuff. The art in this book is phenomenal. The illustrations, whether it's the comic book stuff or the prose stuff, just amazingly gorgeous. And for $19.99, this book is worth every single penny. just a great book. I don't know if either of you guys read it or not, but it's got art by illustrations by Brian Boland, John Bolton, Mark Buckingham, Jill Thompson, Tara McPherson, and others. And it's, like I said, for $20, it's worth every cent.
Oh,
it was really good.
It looked great. And I hope people aren't, that's right up there with Pride of Baghdad as far as hardcovers. Don't be, you know, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Pick it up.
Yeah,
pick
it
up.
It was real good. So.
If you can.
So what else came out this week, guys?
What about the Grant Morrison had two books come out
through
Wildstorm Authority and Wildcat.
Wildstorm is coming.
And I'll tell you what, when I knew that, you know, I got my book sheet last night and opened them up, and that was the first one I read. The Authority. Because I'm a huge Authority fan, and I'm a big Grant Morrison fan.
Gene Ha,
fellow
Chicagoan.
I figure it. No, I'm like,
you,
I'm like,
you
this
sir
is
read.
A, I'm like, this is a top of the stack guaranteed before I ever.
You read the
it.
First chapter of a trade.
Yeah,
that's what you just read.
I don't know what they're trying to do with this. I mean, first of all, there's no Authority in it. You don't see any other than on the cover. There's none of the characters in the book. I could live with that, except the story just didn't do anything. I mean, it didn't really go anywhere. I mean, people talk about decompression, and I would certainly put
this is a book so heavily previewed.
Yeah.
I think this is what it is.
Yeah,
they're expecting you to know that the Authority is supposed to come into our world. So this whole issue is just this is our world. But guess what? I don't. Who wants to read about divorce?
See,
like that's the weird thing.
And the art in it was what really kind of threw me off because
I love
Gene
Ha's work.
Gene Ha is a great artist, and I can't say that the art in this was bad, but it was just so
odd.
And I think that was what they were trying to do. Yeah. They're obviously trying to make it our world, and it's muted, and it's, you know, it's not the superhero world of the Authority and Wildstorm. And I got that, but it was just.
I think maybe
it was kind of boring.
I'm going to read the second issue, and I think maybe it could all. My whole thought on this could turn around completely with the second issue. I mean,
right?
Could
absolutely.
Yeah.
I can certainly. I can.
But what
see
a
it.
Weird first issue.
Yeah, it was. It was. I just.
Gene Ha's been playing with Photoshop.
I expected, a lot of Photoshop.
A
lot of singular screenshots.
I expected so much out of it, and I guess that's my own fault. But it was just like, wow, that was.
I mean, the color is very muted. It's very. No, you know what's going to happen. You know the Authority is going to show up, and they're kind of playing on that.
Yeah.
Well, this is what was weird is that one panel or one page, I was just like, "Wow, that is gorgeous," and then like the next panel would be really wonky, or the next page
it'd be a close up of a cell phone screen, and I would just be like,
"Well,
oh.
it harkens back a bit to the original run on or the original Authority, Warren Ellis Authority." Because I mean, and that's sort of the book that like created the name decompression. That idea that this is a decompressed storytelling. Because it was large thematic widescreen panels and it took a long time for things to sort of progress.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe is part of what they're doing here too. But it was just like. $3, it was like, wow, nothing,
If you've never read, if
the
this
Authority,
is the first time you picked up The Authority, I'd have be hard-pressed to say that.
I would go back and pick up another issue.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like Countdown to The Authority.
It was like a prologue.
It should have been like a 25-cent,
zero
throwing.
Issue.
Yeah. I was just like, okay. I'm a huge Authority fan. I'm a huge Grant Morrison fan. I'm a huge Gene Ha fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have been
the
more disappointed
the
by the book.
Wasn't there.
Yeah,
I'll get
so.
Issue number two, but they better start paying it off pretty quick.
And I was really excited about the whole Wildstorm relaunch, but so far between that and Wildcats.
I do like Wildcats.
It was like the worst 90s. It was the 90s all over again. It was the, it was like.
I didn't read it, but.
I almost went to grab my Wildcats from 1992 or whatever it was.
It was that all over again. Mm-hmm. And, the Joe Casey Wildcats, I think it was Joe Casey, 3.0 or whatever it was, that was really good. I really enjoyed that storyline, and there's some of that coming into this book, but it was just like.
The Grifter stuff?
The Grifter stuff and the what's his name? Samaritan?
Spartan,
sorry.
I think.
What's the, if you want to read some good grifter story, what's the lead in Sleeper?
Point blank.
Yeah. Read Point Blank.
I think.
Oh, what a good story.
I think I was kind of excited for the Wildstorm relaunch because I thought they would be able to put a cohesiveness to that company that I don't think they've ever really had. And it just feels like all these books are just more of the same, just more of like...
Well, that's what I was disappointed with. Like, yeah. I thought they finally would go, okay, we learned our lessons, we have some interesting characters and stories that we can play with, mm-hmm. but let's bring them to, you know, now. And
let's set a tone for this.
And it was like, it's the same tone of what you were doing. Why, you know... And the same thing with Wildcats, like what you said with the Authority was, if this was your first issue of Wildcats... I would be hard pressed to pick up another issue. It's just like, other than the Jim Lee art, it, you know, it's like, what's going on in this story? Like I don't understand it. I don't
selling old rope, kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
Jim Lee, incredibly talented, defined an era, I guess, of comic art. Just doesn't do it for me anymore. Even the All-Star Batman and
it's,
Robin.
His art's almost distracting to this point because it's detailed and so clean and so precise. It almost takes away from a story. Cause
I would prefer like a Paul Azaceta to Jim Lee anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of that almost rough pastel-y look.
And I think this is an interesting segue because you look at the stuff like Wildcats and Authority where there is no tone. Or the tone is muddled, or it's the same old, same old. And you compare it to a book like Casanova,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
came out this week. And Casanova is a book with such a tight sense of what it is that you pick it up and it's like a lightning bolt. It's exactly what it is. It doesn't concede anything. It isn't trying to fool you. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's very well thought out and well. I mean, especially like Gabriel Ba's, you know, art is. You know, some of it's just really, really intelligently thought out and planned. You know what I mean?
But it's also simple.
Yeah.
In a really great...
I think that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, Wildcats was kind of like sitting down with a kind of a watered-down light beer, and Casanova's like a shot of bourbon.
You know, you read...
You know, it's just like, hooah!
You read The Authority, and it's $2.99, and I read that, and I got to the end, I'm like, well, okay. And then you read Casanova, which is $1.99, and that book...
And less pages.
Less mm-hmm. pages mm-hmm. had more story and more happen within it.
Right.
And leaves me wanting more than the
Well, it actually
does.
Has more pages if you think about it because you have to read those 16 pages twice, so it's really like a 32
and
page.
And plus 30. You got the backup stuff in the, you know, in the back where Fraction's talking about, you know, how the story came together,
story
and,
comes,
you know, and that stuff is fascinating.
He called me a fucking traitor.
Well, you are.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting. Because one of the things I've really noticing, one of the things I'm really focusing on lately when I think about what books I'm going to get is what's actually worth $2.99.
Yeah.
You know, what's worth the money I'm buying? You know, is it really worth...
It's not like it used to be where you're paying a quarter for a book or 75 cents.
Tales of the Unexpected, which is Chris's holding out.
Now, there's a good book. That was I really enjoyed that book
$3.99, but I thought completely worth
$3.99.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, the $3.99 was worth the Mignola cover alone for Tales of the Unexpected. Tales of the Unexpected came out.
You know, the only thing about
ago?
That though is it drives me nuts is whenever I see a Mignola cover,
you want to see it.
I
want to
see the rest of the art because
I
just, you know, it's so good.
Yeah, he is.
But the art in this was actually I thought was really good.
Eric Battle.
Yeah, I thought. Which is a cool name.
You know, it's I think this one, if you're a fan of the Spectre, or if you are a fan of the characters from Gotham Central.
No, I'm not, and yet I enjoyed this book.
Yeah. It's,
that's what I thought.
It's an interesting story.
I think it's a great use of the Spectre.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was so well done, is that they set it up so that it's no longer about, like...
vengeance.
Like, you know, gigantic... you know, universe spanning, you know,
Spectre's about
there's no Kirby
getting
crackle
people
in
that
this.
Kill.
Yeah, it
the
was
Spectre's
very,
about
you know,
pure vengeance.
They
and
put
that's
him
what he is.
They put him in a hotel or in an apartment building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, from what I could tell, it seems like he's going
to
be there for a
that's
while.
That's what the story. Yeah, that
yeah,
seems to be
you know,
the framing
it's like,
story.
What is
it? Is it going to be 8 issues?
Yep.
And it's going to be like I'm assuming 8 stories about people that live in this
or
apartment
following
building.
Sort of the story that's already begun.
And it sounds like no one's innocent.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I thought was interesting is that they did exactly what they said was wrong with the Spectre. They changed. They said, you know, the problem with the Spectre and why he went, you know, wonky and crazy and was killing everybody is because he didn't have that human counterpart to connect with. And they gave you perfect examples of that in this book. They you saw as much of
Christmas,
as you did the Spectre. Actually, I think you saw more of Crispus than you did the Spectre in the book, and I thought that really tied it together of you know, using that concept of he needs that human counterpart.
Yeah.
That, you know.
It's almost like he's a werewolf, almost. It's like, you know, when the moon comes out, get away from him.
I think the great part of it is that Crispus Allen's a detective. And in this book, he still gets to be a detective.
Uh-huh.
But at a certain point, he loses control of what's happening. Yeah. And the Spectre only cares about vengeance. He doesn't care about justice.
Right.
And he doesn't care about who is really right and wrong. The Spectre is just there to get somebody who killed someone. And it doesn't matter to him.
It's simple.
For simple for the Spectre and difficult
not,
for Crispus.
Which was great, which is a great thing.
And I think that the Spectre even says that to Crispus at one point. It's like, you know, it's time to go. And Crispus is like, no, I have to do this. This is the humanity part of me that you know, I
have to show why this guy deserves, you know.
Yeah, like, I have to help this person. And the Spectre says, no, the dead scream for justice. And it was a powerful line. It's like, you know, that part of, you know, the man that you are wants to do this, but
it doesn't matter anymore.
Yes, the Spectre has a
I really enjoyed
the dead scream for justice.
And
the creepy backup story was good too.
what was creepier,
the Spectre story or the Doctor 13
story? I love the idea of Doctor 13 as a character because he is a skeptic.
Yeah.
You know, that's great because in a universe where we acknowledge ghosts and science and like crazy shit exists, that there's a character whose goal is that he doesn't believe any of it.
But he's wrapped
up
in it.
Yeah, he's wrapped up in it. He's like, you know, like
that was
awesome.
Cool.
That
he doesn't want to sleep with his daughter, right?
Well, I don't know. It was creepy. That's all I know. But for $3.99, that book was worth every penny.
Mystery in
Space is excellent.
$3.99
bucks. Yeah. Because I'm going back and forth of in those books in Mystery in Space whether I like the Captain Comet stories or the weird stories, but which one I like more.
I'm not reading that book.
It's a good book. You know, me and Tom both, we don't really like space books.
Yeah.
And that's just the art in it is phenomenal. It's a good book.
Okay.
It's a really good
book.
What
else came out this week?
Elephant Man, number...
another great issue.
Yeah. Tying
everything together.
Yeah, interesting. No quote-unquote backup story.
Yeah, I was almost a little disappointed when I got to the end of it. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
But
they had
the
flip cover. They had the flip cover
still. I
like
the flexibility because you can see...
Some stories will need...
The backup story became the main
story.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it all tie together.
That's a really interesting sort of... I don't know if I'd say experimental book, but there's some elements...
And the next issue is going to be a reprint of the
Hip Flask.
Oh,
really?
Which is really cool, because you can't get that.
Yeah. That is cool. That's a cool
Speaking of Hip Flask, you guys see the sketch that Dave Wachter did?
Yeah, I bought it.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I bought it.
Oh, my gosh.
He's,
okay.
He's doing a commission of Hip Flask fighting the Thing.
Yeah,
cool.
It looks really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I bought it last weekend.
DaveDrawsComics.com.
Yeah.
Go check out Dave's sketches and commissions, and he's a great guy.
I bought a thing of his.
You bought Dave's Thing?
I bought Dave's Thing.
Are you touching Dave's Thing?
Yeah, Elephant Man, I really look forward to this book. Every month that it comes out,
it's just a
meaty read.
It's like it's so completely different than anything else out there. Mm-hmm. It's such a nice, fresh break from everything else, any other comic kind of thing, you know. And it's not like, you know, like I feel the same way about Casanova in that regard. But Casanova sometimes it's just like you have to dedicate time to reading that book.
Yeah.
Where Hip Flask not so, or I mean Elephant Man not so much.
I found a way to describe Elephant Man. People, and it's Blade Runner meets Animal Farm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good description.
It's true. That's true.
And I enjoy it. Every issue has been interesting. Kind of a surprise book that I liked this week was Ms. Marvel, number 8.
Ms. Marvel.
Civil War tie-in.
Haven't been reading it.
Pretty darn good. It's the conclusion. I think this is the last of the Civil War times, and they left you with a little cliffhanger at the end that I have absolutely no interest in. But the meat of the, but the meat of the story, interesting. It's, you know, Ms. Marvel definitely believes in the side of the fence that she's on in Civil War, and you see how she's trying to be kind of a mentor to Aranya,
yeah.
And who is it? Simon, Wonder Man, is a big part of it. So yeah, I thought it was a nice little tie-in. It's one of those by the Tom Cater's method of comic books. I don't know if I got my $2.99 out of it,
yeah.
But yeah, it was an interesting little Civil War story.
I see what you got next. Exterminators. It was awesome.
It was really good.
I think it made the Guinness Book of World Records for most bugs in a single comic book.
Shit. Bugs and shit.
Bugs and turds.
I'm talking about Buddhism while walking through turds.
Yeah, it's, what's the, I think, was it the opening line? Yeah. Now I'm fully aware that I'm standing ankle deep in a stream of other people's bowel movements, but it's still strangely paradoxical situation actually taking a piss down here.
Yeah. That, I mean, that book.
Pissing in other people's piss.
Yeah.
And shit.
Some nice revelations. A death of a character.
Oh,
yeah.
I was so upset.
But you can always
so upset.
This book is already set up that death doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I don't want him to come back, though. No.
Chris,
so
let
upset.
Go. Let go.
He was so cool.
This isn't Wolverine. This is... You know?
All right, everybody knows we love Exterminators, and it was a really good issue. Yeah.
I think this one starts to tie together some storylines. Oh, by the way, for the contest, if you pick up, issues 6, 7, 8, 9, this issue 10 is actually the last issue out of that story arc. So if you're going to the comic shop to pick up the issues for the contest, go ahead and pick up 10, because that is the last issue out of that story arc.
I had a book here that I got from, this was actually came out last week, but mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool. It's called The Pirates of Coney Island. It's a miniseries from Image. It's one of 8, and it's the first rad issue, as they
first rad.
It's an interesting little book. I don't know exactly what's going on. It's hard to tell what sort of, it's obviously like a weird alternative reality world, sort of. It's New York and everything, but there seems to be some interesting, strange characters, including pirates, in New York.
Including pirates?
It was weird. I mean, the art in it reminded me very much, and it may even be the same, I don't know, but the guy who does all the stuff for Gorillaz, the band. That's the sort of the style of the art.
It does kind of look like
Gorillaz. I mean, look at like the eyes and these characters.
Jamie,
are...
what's his name? The guy who did Tank Girl. The artist that does Gorillaz.
Oh, really?
This was by Rick Spears and Vasilis Lolos was the artist, but Rick Spears the writer. And it was just an interesting book. I mean, it was. I'm going to be interested to see where it goes, but as far as the art was kind of cool, and the coloring was really interesting, real striking and vibrant colors. And it's a weird little story about this girl who is homeless and hanging out, you know, like from the subway to Coney Island. She gets attacked by, I think, what are pirates. But I don't know. It's really strange. But all
right.
It's just an odd little book, but I thought it was kind of cool. That's all. I mean, nothing groundbreaking, but I just thought it was kind of a cool little. And definitely, I mean, yeah, look at. I mean, that's Gorillaz artwork, don't you think?
And the Pirates of Coney. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mark actually dropped off the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter. Yeah, Guilty Pleasures. Is this the first Dable Brothers Marvel book that's come out? Mark said good.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Really?
It's more
than I thought it was
going to
be.
So I flipped through it.
Yeah, more entertaining than you thought. Yeah, it looks interesting. The art, definitely above board.
How was 52 this week, Tom?
It was extremely enjoyable.
I haven't read it yet.
It had Jimenez art.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And apparently a very quotable line.
Yeah. And no, that was the previous week.
Oh, okay.
And Substitute Justice League and Ambush Bug made an appearance. It was extremely enjoyable. And what else to enjoy?
Checkmate. Ambush Bug.
Yep, Ambush Bug is Ambush a member Bug. Of the 52 Justice League.
No way.
Yeah. And Checkmate cool. was really good.
Oh, now I'm going to have to go home and read it.
I haven't gotten to Checkmate yet. It's one of those, I was starting to get tired last night. I was like, must read Checkmate. Too tired.
I want a Suicide Squad book now after reading them. But they'll reappear.
Anything else come? I'm trying to think of what else came out this week.
Oh, gosh. You want me to go through?
We should be next.
X-Factor was good.
Oh, X-Factor was very good, I thought. Although I'm a little, you know, the artist on that, he's like doing the same kind of thing that Alex Maleev did on Daredevil, where he's using like Photoshop to do the shadows and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I liked it when I first saw it, but it's, you know.
Wears on you a little bit.
100 bullets.
A little bit, yeah.
Union Jack. Union Jack was fun.
I thought Union Jack was good.
Casanova, read it twice.
Yeah.
Read it twice, understand. Ultimate Fantastic Four was good.
I haven't read that yet.
Pascal Ferry, I really like his art.
So unique.
Mike Norton's Runaways came out.
How was that? Anybody read that?
We're telling you what you already bought, maybe.
I have not read Runaways yet. The X-Men little miniseries from Civil War. It's the one part of Civil War I really haven't really given a shit about. Lone Ranger number 2 came out from Dynamite Entertainment. Really like it.
It's
good. It's the Lone Ranger. You know, if you like the Lone Ranger,
I love the Lone Ranger.
Wolverine number 47.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's the conclusion of the Vendetta storyline. Wolverine goes really badass.
More badass than usual.
More badass than usual. Yeah.
Oh, you know, there was a line in Wildcats that I liked. Mm-hmm. It was Grifter, and he was saying, I'm the best there is at what I do.
What I do is drink. Yeah. If you've been wanting to see Maria Hill, the acting director of S.H.I.E.L.D., really get...
Her ass kicked?
Yeah, not even her ass kicked, but someone just...
Dressed down?
Say, you are such a bitch. And Wolverine kind of does that this week.
Wow. Well,
all right, then.
Damn.
I haven't been looking for it, but
Hack and Slash, Doctor Who number 14.
I don't think that came out this week.
No, that came out like 12 years, 14 years ago.
Well, that's about all we kind of all read together, right? Mm-hmm. Desolation Jones, we already kind of talked about that. That was good.
Great week.
It was a really good week for comics. It was very good.
Yes.
All right.
That'll do it for Top of the Stack.
Thank God.
All right, now we've got all of our other listener emails and end announcements and all the other fun stuff. Good stuff. Jam Campbell from Comics Radar sent you an email this week.
I
thought it was very, very nice of him.
Where's it at? I don't even see it.
I'll read it. I won't read. Hey guys, love the show. I'm slowly catching up on episodes and thought your interview with Ed Brubaker was absolutely awesome. Thank you. I was wondering if I could cut out the part where he talks about waiting for the trade and replay it on Comics Radar. Of course, I'd give you full credit. I just thought it was absolutely awesome and deserves to be reiterated for those that listen to both and deserves to be heard for those that may have missed it. Let me know, and if you ever need someone to fill in a chair, let me know.
No, that's copyrighted. Sorry, Jay.
Well, you know, I mean, personally, I have no problem with him. I think that's cool that he wants to do that, but I don't know if we would have to get Ed Brubaker to agree to let him do that.
I think Ed would probably be okay with it.
Well, yeah, he probably would, but can we assume that? I guess. Yeah, what the hell? What's he going to do? Sue us? We got no money.
We have no money. What's he going to do?
All we can do
is shut us down.
We can do is give him the podcast because it's all we got.
Yeah, that's
true. It all of a sudden becomes Brewcast.
Take it.
Yeah, you want
it? See how you like
it,
buddy.
Sure. So, check out Comics Radar. And JM, really good guy. Next listener email.
I've completely lost my way in the show notes. I can't find our emails here.
Should I read this one?
Go ahead.
Wait,
Tom.
Let me read it.
I'll
catch Sal up. You go.
Guys, I'm 35 and have not really read comics since the mid and late 80s. I subscribed to your podcast on a whim, and I'm so glad that I did. I have since bought Pride of Baghdad and Identity Crisis. Thanks for the great recommendations. I love Pride, but cannot really appreciate IC because my aging memory was more familiar with Marvel, X-Men/X-Factor from the 80s and DC. Every time they used a first name for a character other than Bruce Clark, I had no idea who they were talking about. All right, Ali is Green Arrow. Wally is the Flash. Elongated Man is Ralph. Okay, I look forward to you catching me up in an entertaining, lighthearted, full of shit. Whoa. Pompous, self-deprecating knowledgeable, idiotic, detailed, chaotic, casual, and satisfying way. Thanks, Damon.
I think he just described the show.
Yeah, it's exactly. P.S. I loved your recommendation to get caught up with the Ultimates, but it sucks that they are in black and white.
What?
He meant Essentials.
Essentials, yes.
Oh,
Essentials.
I was going
to
say
best way
Ultimate.
To reacquaint myself with X-Men
Ultimates,
in color.
Ultimates, great comic. Essentials, really good way to read old comics.
Yeah, best way to reacquaint myself with X-Men in color. Get
X-Men Omnibus.
PPS?
Omnibus?
X-Men Omnibus.
Or, you know, if you're...
Or the quarter bands, get the classics.
Yeah, get the classics. If you're
or go pick up stuff. The old Art Adam-covered X-Men classics that you could probably find somewhere.
Yeah,
so we just said
quarter
classic
band.
X-Men.
We just talked about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was
you're not even. You're just thinking about what you're going to say next. PPS, whatever happened to X Factor?
It's still around. It's the best X book on the shelves.
It's not the same X Factor.
Oh gosh, the X Factor history. They turned into Freedom Force and worked with Henry Gyrick.
But pick up the Jamie Madrox miniseries first, and then read the new series of X Factor. You won't be disappointed.
PPS,
it's really good.
Has DC and Marvel ever combined their universes in any way?
Yes.
Have they ever managed to get past the politics/bullshit?
Kind of.
Here and there.
Et cetera, to post Spider-Man meets Superman or X-Men meets JLI.
Well, you had the JLA versus the Avengers that came
which
out.
Which was really good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
My all-time favorite, X-Men Teen Titans.
X-Men Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. And then
there was a Spider-Man. Superman.
Yep.
I think that was the first DC Marvel crossover.
I don't think there's been a Spider-Man Batman at all.
No.
Has there? Oh, wait, yeah. Wasn't there... Didn't McFarlane do Spider-Man? Oh, no, I'm thinking Spider-Man Spawn. Or no, Batman Spawn, I think, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Batman Spawn. Top Cow does the Marvel crossovers now and again.
Right.
You know, Wolverine, Witchblade, that kind of crap.
I like JLA Avengers, I thought was really good if you want to see the differences between those two universes.
Well, yeah, because they kind of gave you everything that you'd want if you were looking for that book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
probably my favorite, and I'll have to go back and read it at some point, was the Teen Titans X-Men.
Yep.
It was actually pretty good. So, but I was such a Marvel kid growing up that I really didn't care about the Teen Titans. I'm sure there are Teen Titans fans growing up that
didn't
really
care about
give
the X-Men.
A crap about the X-Men. I don't know. Whenever they do that,
either.
It's really gimmicky, but it's been done. We do have.
I thought one of the best company crossovers, if you can call it that, was the Authority. Was it Authority JLA?
Authority Batman.
Planetary. Yeah.
That was cool.
The
Planetary Authority.
Batman
yeah,
was,
Planetary
yeah.
Batman was.
That was really good, especially when they
those
met,
were both,
the, when
those
they
were
met
both
the
good.
Adam West Batman.
Yeah. Probably. Those were cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. We did get another listener voicemail, so here we go.
Hi, Round Comics. It's Amy here from England.
She's speaking English?
Just thought I'd let you know, it's been 3 nights since CGS crashed. 3 nights.
Who?
And Keith's come up with the insane idea that you crashed it.
No.
However, it's been 3 nights without my forum. Insane ideas are starting to make sense. I'm going to have to come to Chicago if you've done anything.
Well, how dare you.
If that's the case, then yeah, I did it.
Boo.
Oh, I did it.
Mark says he did it.
Yeah, CGS's forums were down.
We had nothing to do.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know about it until Amy came over to our forum.
So, Birds Geek.
No,
our forums are pretty much.
Our site's gone down a couple times, but for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I crashed the
only caused by our own action.
Yeah, Sal accidentally deleted the entire database.
Whoops.
Why didn't it say, are you sure you want to do that?
The thing with CGS is they have so many forums on there.
There's 28 now?
Yeah, and so they're. That's. They were using software that just couldn't handle that. But now they're on the PHBB boards, which are real robust. So
They
should be okay as long as their servers don't have problems.
A bunch of our buddies have forums there, Crankcast and Raging Bullets and Birds of Geek, which that's Amy from Birds of Geek.
Yes,
so check
is.
Out Birds of Geek. Good stuff. Another friend, Stephanie Mangold, is on Birds of Geek from time to time.
Somebody emailed me today and asked me questions about Tim's Quarterbin.
Uh-huh.
Which I hadn't listened to. Yeah, it's part of Comic Book Noise. And I hadn't listened to it, and they asked me whether I thought it was straight dope, fat, or all these things. And I answered, and then I realized I had never listened to it. So then I listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else? Oh,
Yeah. Eric Houston sent in the answer to something that had perplexed
to an unintentional.
How
trivia
is your
question.
History?
Yes.
And the answer is James Ford. Robert Ford.
Robert Ford killed
Jesse
James.
How is your history knowledge?
If anyone was wondering.
All right.
We left you hanging.
We've had an email
Michael
from
Worrell.
Is it Michael Worrell?
Yeah, there's one here from Michael Worrell.
This is the
Christian.
This is the Christian comic thing. You want to get into this episode?
Oh God, we're already over time.
Okay,
we keep bumping this.
That's a whole like. Yeah, I know. We keep bumping it, but he has a really good email, but it's long and it'll get into a long discussion. I just don't think we can do it tonight.
Okay, yeah. we will bump that. So Michael, hang tight. We're
gonna get
you're like a comic on Letterman. He keeps getting bummed.
Yeah, poor guy.
Like,
but it was really
Sandra
good
Bullock's talking too loud, too long.
Maybe we just didn't like bullshit like this for so much. We could
were so kind as to send us some happy 50th episode greetings. First one from Prodigy One, and these are the ones that we promised people that we would read after last week whenever it ran
can
on.
Can I read this one?
Yeah, from Prodigy.
This is built on promises.
I hate you guys and everything you stand for. Just playing. I've been a listener since episode one when it was posted on the Bendis board. You guys are fun to listen to when you're not kissing up to Marvel.
When the fuck do we kiss up to Marvel?
LOL, he said. I wish you guys well and at least 50 more years of Around Comics.
Jesus.
Take care.
Christ.
I'm guaranteeing you I'm not
There's
doing
not
this.
Gonna be 50
I won't even be alive
years.
In 50. I'd be 85. Yeah.
Welcome to Around Comics.
All right.
Next one.
How
from
about
Marvel? Here's. Yeah, we'd have to take our whips off of Image's ass before we put them on Marvel's ass.
Vertigo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have Exterminator's balls in my mouth. I can't kiss
anybody. We haven't even really talked about Civil War all that much.
The only reason we have Tom on here is so we can occasionally talk about DC.
Yeah, other than that. Yeah,
whatever. I
that's
like
the only reason I'm here.
He's talking about me. I probably read more
You
Marvel.
Are a bit of a Marvel bitch.
I am Marvel's bitch.
But that's all right.
Yeah, and Greg Rucka's bitch.
Lee Webb said, hey, guys.
We like you anyway.
Hey, guys, congrats on the 50 shows.
Congratulations to you for listening.
It your light attitude?
It's your light
attitude combined with a focus on the positives of the industry that has made your show well worth listening to. I know that it has expanded my range of books that I pick up. Well, that's good. I'm even going to smurfing pick up a Queen and Country trade next time. I'm in my local store. I hope you guys enjoy yourselves.
One of us.
What with your access to creators and publishers, conventions that happen more than 3 times in 15 years, wide range of DVDs, comics, and pretzels. And to Tom, don't worry, the Flash will get better. It has to, doesn't it?
The law of averages would say so.
Lee lives in Australia, so I'm assuming
get together with the other Australians.
Yeah. That the every 15-year convention and pretzels is, you know.
Oh, is it like on a ship?
Just like a penal colony.
By every 15 years.
All right, everyone. This is from our buddy Vince B. over at Bulletin. So,
boo!
Hey guys, Vince B.
I'm kidding.
In honor of your 50th episode, I wrote you a little song. I hope you love it. It's so big, I had to get a couple of my buddies to help me out with it.
I love
so,
this man.
Here we go. And one, and two. Happy 50th episode, Around Comics! Happy 50th episode, Around Comics! Happy 50th episode,
Only 50.
I think that's trademarked. I don't think he can say he wrote that song.
They're all really neat, and sometimes just on dread. All right, here's the interpretive dance part. It's pretty cool.
Oh,
the part
no.
about the swans, really good. Here you go. One, two.
Oh, Vince.
All right, Vince. Yeah! All right, good job. Good job, guys.
Good job to you.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa, that's some music.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
Little 19 wheels there, sorry.
Thank you, Vince.
I love Vince.
Choked up.
Vince
is a
good man.
He is one of my favorite people in
He's
the
handsome
entire
too.
World.
You know, he
is a handsome devil.
I think I told you guys this earlier, but you know, I was every Friday on the way down here, I usually listen to Bullpen Bulletins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening today, and I was like, what the fuck? both Chris and Tom are on the show this week.
Yeah. Sorry.
And,
yeah.
And me, I'm not, it's like you guys just leaving the show, going over the bullpen bulletins. But then I got to the point where Vince is like yelling at me because I'm never on Skype anymore. And it's like,
because Vince is on Skype constantly.
Yeah, I know. But so I'm going to have to make an appearance on bullpen bulletins at some point, I guess.
And you will enjoy it.
Yeah, oh, I love Vince and David. They're great. I really wish those guys lived in Chicago. Yeah. I really wish
they did. We would be thick as thieves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'd hang out all the time.
More than...
I'd probably live with them. We'd probably all just live on a farm.
Comic right. Commune.
We'd live on a comic
What's next?
Commune.
What's next?
Organic spinach.
David D., who we heard from earlier, says, I don't have anything to add other than say congratulations on 50 episodes.
See our
the show on the website get better all the time. And I hope you guys enjoy making it as much as I do listening to it. And I hope Tom's girlfriend continues to be understanding about having a comic book store be the third member of their relationship. Looking forward to the next 50.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. And our last one.
Monkey Punk? 50.
Nice. I guess the only thing I'd ask for in the next 50 is more cursing. Cursing is cool.
Fuck yeah.
We're going to...
Sorry, Alex.
Sorry, we're going to cut out all the cursing. We're going to use stuff like...
Frack
totally
that.
Saw this girl like smurf so hard.
Smurfed her.
Smurf you.
I'm not using that.
All right. Thank you, everyone. So that's enough of the backslapping from 50. We really appreciate it. Thank you. You guys were so nice to send those messages in. We really needed to read them. So next, we had a poll. I thought the poll
Flash
results.
Flash wins.
Flash did win. Oh, yeah. This was on the who should be in the JLA. Mm-hmm. We had 189 people voted. And the Flash won with 61 votes,
12.84%. I mean, come on.
You got to form a coalition.
Hal Jordan was next with 54 votes, 11.37%, 37%. Captain Marvel, 10.95%, 52 votes. Green Arrow with 49 votes. Power Girl with 48 votes.
And no one else matters.
Animal Man with 44. Red Tornado with 43. Nightwing with 38. Hawkman with 31. Yeah, it was. And John Stewart with 24, and then
Wolverine got a vote. Whoever did that, fuck you.
as did Trojan Man.
Trojan Man.
The janitor.
But the thing I thought was interesting is that there were 30 votes, and John Stewart only got 20. There were 30 votes for Other, and not everyone put in a name for an Other.
They just said
They just said Other.
They saw the choices and said Other. Somebody else.
Anyone, but this is the funny thing. John Stewart only got 24 votes, so... So people would rather have anyone other than
a black Green Lantern,
which I thought was telling. In a scary
or Wolverine,
story. Or Wolverine. No, he only got one vote. But
along with Aquaman, what about the Martian Manhunter hate? Only one vote,
and that was
Martian
me.
I like that Wally.
I literally
just Wally West.
Wow,
Wally. Yeah, just Wally West.
Yeah,
in a casket.
Oh,
all right. So that was the poll. We have a new poll.
My idea, by the way.
Your idea.
I'm taking credit.
How much do you love Marvel? A lot. Some.
No.
Not as much as Queen and Country.
It's who are your favorite Daredevil creator or creators?
I had so much trouble trying to decide who my favorite Daredevil
creator. Sweating all over your keyboard.
There's a lot of good ones.
Are you
there's,
kidding?
There's
I started
a
looking
fantastic
at that.
Well,
whenever
I went
you
back,
started with Stan Lee in the bullpen.
Yeah, and the bullpen included, you know, Gene Colan,
Jack Kirby,
Wally Wood. I mean, yeah, there was, you know,
King.
I had a hard time putting the poll together because that first one, it was like, well, in like 3-year period, it was Stan and everyone else. It's like, well, I can't put all of them in there, you know, so that's why I put it as the bullpen. So that's who the bullpen represents, is that first, you know, year or so of
And then
of
you've
issues.
Got the Gene Colan, then you've got Frank Miller with Klaus Janson, and you've got the, you know, Mazzucchelli and, you know, Quesada Smith, Bendis Malieve, the
David Max run, which was short, but it was... He wrote it and drew it, you know, did the art in it.
Then you've
so.
Got now a lot of people are already saying that the Brubaker Lark run may be one of the best ones by the time it's all said and over with.
For me, it's...
Frank Miller's is better.
Yeah, Frank Miller...
Frank Miller is a classic.
It'll be interesting to see what people say.
So go
Let
vote on that
Daredevil.
Let
the people decide.
Good stuff. Guys, have we gotten through another episode of Around Comics?
I think so. I think that's about all we
is
got
on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Let us know how you like the new formatting of the show and moving things around a little bit. I would like to say congratulations to Matt and Sarah Kramer.
Yeah.
Now, Mrs. Kramer.
That's right. They're at the
Mrs. con. Darth Kramer.
They're at the con, and they're like, oh, we have to leave. We're getting married tomorrow. Wasn't it like
Sunday? They got married today.
Yesterday,
Friday.
Today?
Friday.
Today?
Thursday, Friday.
I don't know. Something like that.
But yeah, it's Mr. and Mrs. Darth Kramer.
well.
So good for them. Wonderful people.
Yes.
And we're very, very happy for them. Would like to mention that we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. CPN is a collection of some of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. The forum, you guys did a great job this week. Our new episode topic will be posted on Tuesday. Give you a little preview.
Yes.
Tom?
Spooktacular.
Yes. It's our Halloween episode.
We guarantee that someone in the audience, we have caskets ready in case someone dies while listening to the next episode.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some great guests lined up. So
yes,
get your Halloween costumes ready.
Comics.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be
all sorts of fun stuff.
Awesome stuff. So we'll post that on Tuesday so you can give us your feedback and thoughts on that. Remember the Exterminators Bug Hunt Contest. And good Lord, go buy that book if you haven't already.
We've done everything we can to try and get
people
to
buy it for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to have to buy a gun.
I have
That's
three.
All we have left.
I've
three
got,
guns.
Three
and we're going to come to your house and we're going to...
Rifle through your long box.
I just need a blackjack so I can hit someone over the head with it.
I got this real little gun. It's about like 3 inches long. It's just a little.
Why do I get the little gun?
I'm gonna pistol whip you if you.
Tom's gonna get the 357.
Pistol whip.
And I'll take the Glock 45.
What? And announcements.
You get the little 25.
It's just whenever you guys start picking on me. It's not fair.
What?
What's our LCS challenge?
Because we sit on the same side of the table.
Podcast Alley. iTunes music reviews. Be as cool as Andy Parks, who just inked the shit out of Exterminators this last episode.
That he did.
God, that was a lot of bugs. I'd like to thank everyone today for sending in voicemails.
Everyone who did anything.
Tom, Sal, great job as always.
You're okay.
Really like the Comics 101, the G.I. Joe stuff.
Yeah,
really
the G.I. Joe maybe not
the
most exciting topic, but I think it's a good concept, and I think we'll get some good
sometimes
better.
EC's going to be awesome.
Sometimes learning isn't fun.
Yeah, next week's going to be EC Comics. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes learning isn't fun.
This is true. It's not always fun.
But sometimes it can be fun and entertaining. What do we call that?
We call it edutainment.
Edutainment,
right.
Baby.
All right, guys. Have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode.
Full to the brim.
In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Foley artists.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week. With a panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.